Getting ready for the opening kickoff of tonight's game. Bill Ricka comes into this game. The Redmen are 8-1. Beverly Panthers are 7-2. They have had one common opponent. And we think back just to last weekend when the Panthers defeated Tewksbury by a score of 9-8. And earlier in the season, Tewksbury defeated Bill Ricka by a score of 20-7. Bill Ricka comes in averaging 32.25 points per game and on offense at about 14.5. On defense, so they've got a pretty big differential there. Beverly on the other side, about 22 points on offense on average, and they give up about 17. So a little higher offensive machine for Bill Ricka out of the Merrimack Valley Conference, and the Panthers with their two losses coming in, and they'll be playing on a hard-packed grass football field that is pretty much bare dirt between the 30s with a streak of no grass and hard-packed dirt down as far as the 10.
Well, it's going to make for, it should make for good sure footing tonight. We saw some slippage on the part of the players last week where it was cold. It was earlier in the day. I think with the wind, this is going to be really, really solid ground surface for the running backs, and this could produce a some high totals for some of these really quality running backs we're going to see on the field tonight for both teams. I think it's going to be really important for both teams to get out there and hit each other right away to knock some of the cold off and get into this right away like we saw last week against Tewksbury.
It's Friday night. It's Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day, and thanks to all for your service in defense of this country. We have Beverly travels very well. There's a good contingent of Beverly players, Beverly fans in front of us. We were commenting in a little inside radio here because there are actually, this is 2 weeks in a row where there are two press boxes, one on the visitor side and one on the home side. We're on the visitor side, so all the noise you will hear will be from Beverly fans.
Yeah, and I thought it was great last week the way the team had to enter from along the side of the stands and file two by two in front of the stands, then onto the field. When they came out of the field, it was great to see. They got a nice round of applause, and then they came off the field at halftime. They got another round of applause and back onto the field. So they really got a chance to feel the emotion and the support of the... And there's a crowd noise.
Well, and we are also in the same facility as the Beverly High School coaches, who are about 15 feet down to our right, so you may hear some of them as well.
I don't think they're 15 feet away, Marty. And, you know, we have the original loud person himself, Phil Stacy, sitting next to us, who will be chiming in from time to time. He takes his fingers off his BlackBerry there.
All right, two very enthusiastic teams. We've had the coin toss, and we will get this football game underway. The stakes for this one are the opportunity to play next Saturday afternoon in Lowell, and the teams will play the winner of the North Attleboro-Duxbury game, which is being played at Duxbury tonight, right around now. Duxbury 9-0, North Attleboro 8-1. The winner plays next Saturday, 1:30 at Cawley Stadium in Lowell.
Now, Phil and I will be competing to see who can get the scores out fastest tonight.
One thing we noticed last week was that Beverly was fired up along the sideline. They are fired up again this time. On the Bill Ricka sideline, they have dressed everybody, I think, that's older than Pop Warner.
Yeah, when they came out to warm up, they actually went into the end zone. They had so many players on the field. But that's really exciting for the freshman to dress and come on the field in these kind of playoff situations. It really makes you feel part of the program. And, again, as far as the program has come this year to this sectional final up against Beverly. And for Beverly, I'm sure they've got the freshman dressed in there as well. You want to feel part of the program. And the coaches know the more you can make the younger kids, the freshmen, the sophomores, feel a part of the program that they have worked so hard on their teams to prepare for the future. To come and be part of the now is really, really a big thing for them.
Beverly will be kicking the football off from our left to our right.
It's not too cold in here, Marty.
No, it's not. Well, there's a lot of hot air being generated.
Whoa.
By me. So I'm going to open the window and look outside.
I'm doing most of the talking here. I'm taking it kind of personal.
Luke Sampieri will tee the ball up at the 40. And
now, it's going to be interesting to see how the wind impacts his kick tonight.
Let's see. The streamers are showing that the wind is blowing from our right to our left, so the kick will be going into the wind. And here it is. It's a nice line drive, plenty of spin, and it is fielded at his own goal line and brought downfield by Jimmy Best of Bill Ricka. He's on his feet at the 20, and he's wrestled down at about the 23-yard line. So it'll be 1st and 10 for the Bill Ricka Redmen at their own 23-yard line, 10:51 to play in the first quarter.
Yeah, he wanted to take it up the sideline, but I think it was Shares who had the outside contain and forced him back into the middle for about another 5-6 yard gain before he was gang tackled down. So good outside lane coverage there.
So first and 10, they'll spot the ball right on the 25 at the near hash mark. And Bill Ricker will move from our right to our left. In the backfield, Derek Laundrie. And from the shotgun, Zach Burns. Burns hands it off to Laundrie. Laundrie goes right to the line of scrimmage, puts his head down, and gets about 2 yards. Not much more from that, and we figured that Laundrie would be the one to get the play call first, and as you said, knock the rust off, knock the cold off.
Yeah, and Euchalis right in the middle of the play. And we should see another big game from him tonight. He and Shares, the linebackers there, they're big, they're strong, they're fast. They're short tacklers, so...
Talking about you and me?
Yes, Phil, you and I. I was just going to mention,
in the day.
The speedy pot was gone a long time ago.
John O'Neill on the football. Now here's the handoff off the line of scrimmage, and it will get up to the 27-yard line. Squibs through for Derek Laundrie up to the 30. So the gain will get them about three more, and it's at the 30, so it is 3rd and 5. For Bill Ricca.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a little shocking when you make some of these hits, but you got to make sure you're wrapping number 44 up around the ankles like they did last week. Did a really good job of it. Initial man to the ball carriers, got to be really strong, get a good hold on to him, and then let the help arrive and finish off the play.
Again from the shotgun is Burns. You can hear the wind picking up. There's the snap. He just hands it off to Laundrie, and Laundrie will get stood up at the 32-yard line, and a wave of Beverly players push him backwards. They'll give him forward progress, though, up to the 33. Doesn't matter. It is 4th down and 2.
Yeah, he got stood up by Euchalis. What a play. Again, Laundrie came flying through the line, and again, he met my number 84, and 84 just stopped him in his tracks, picked him up, and just waited for some help to ride, which didn't take long to get there. First few plays, Beverly's been very quick to the ball carrier, and again, gang tackling.
On 4th and 2. Right now, Bill Ricca set up to go for 4th and 2 from their own 32-yard line. Single back in the backfield is Laundrie. Here's the snap. Looking to throw, hanging on to it is Burns, runs the corner right side, and he will get over the 35, and it'll be enough for the first down, maybe one more yard. They'll mark him down at the 35. So Zach Burns on the big scramble out to the right side.
Beverly was quick to the coverage, but again, just the possibility of having that toss to Laundrie out to go wide forced the Beverly defense to string out a little bit. He found an alley, but again, it closed down very quickly.
Burns hands it off in the backfield up over the 40 to 42 to the 43-yard line for Bill Ricca. Once again, it's Derek Laundrie, and a nice pickup of about 7 on first down. Brings the ball to the 43. Clock running 8:13, the opening possession of the football game. No huddle for Zach Burns. This time hands it off again to Laundrie. Slices through, and he is tripped up at the 49-yard line. If they didn't get him there, Tim, I think he would have been gone.
Yeah, again, down low. That was... Kyle Chenard on that particular tackle knifing in. I'll tell you, Laundrie is impressive. He's one of those runners who, once he takes the second step, he's in fourth gear, and he's hitting that line real hard and fast.
It's a handoff to Laundrie again. He's up over midfield and on his feet down to the 47-yard line. Stopped there, and Zach Burns will go again with no huddle. He just kind of gathers his folks around, and we've got to whistle here, official timeout. On the field now, Beverly is going to take timeout with 7:34, 2nd and 5 when we resume timeout on the field.
You know, Laundrie is listed at 5'11", 220.
Oh.
Yeah, and he's a junior. And I'll tell you, even from here, you can tell how thick he is. 220, I think that may be a scare tactic. But he has a big upper body. But again, he's just wicked quick off that first second step, and he hits the line real square. He's going to force holes open that aren't there if you're not careful. And again, you're going to have to get down low on him and wrap up really, really quickly.
A lot of length on this team, a lot of height make it for Bill Ricca. And once again, Burns Single back in the backfield. Fakes it off to Laundrie. Hangs onto it. He gets over the 45 down to the 40. He'll have first down yardage. They'll spot him at the 39-yard line on the quarterback keeper. Second time on third down and more or less long. They've gone to him.
Yeah, again, he's quick. And again, you have to pay so much attention to Laundrie that it's easy to get caught with the fake and to take that just that one step towards him. And with the cutback play for Burns, it's going to leave him some room to run.
Pair of wides on the far side. Again, the handoff to Laundrie. Cuts, gets away from a tackle, and he's down at the 36-yard line. So this drive is about 4 minutes long, and it started at the 25. They've managed to bring it downfield. They're at their own 25, and they're at the 36 now of Beverly, second and six.
Well, you know, they're just taking chunk, and heading down the field. It's a, you know,
Beverly takes another timeout. And one of the comments that you had made during the pregame was that part of the reason this field is chewed up is because of the way they play football, and it's exactly the way they're running it right now, between the hash marks and right down the middle of the field.
Right down the middle. And, you know, with that kind of way, you know, the JV team is running that. The freshman team is running that. You know, you got a Pompoana team that's a feeder system for the high school system. You know, they're going to do the exact same thing. So that field isn't going to get a chance to heal for a while.
Again, Burns and Laundrie in the backfield. Handed off to Laundrie. He gets down to the 32-yard line. Pulled down by Chenard of the Panthers. And Chenard got him by the ankles.
Yeah, again, it's the way you got to go down. I mean, he's a low load anyway. He runs. He says 5'11", but I think they're cheating there as well.
So it's third down and one for the Indians. On third and one with no huddle. Snap to Burns. He's going to run it again on third down. He's got pursuit. Turns around, comes back inside, still on his feet inside the 30. He's got the first down yardage. They'll mark him down at the 25.
Again, great outside quickness and the ability to turn up field on a half a step.
Is that their third first down?
Fourth.
So that's their fourth first down. Three of them, so that's off the top of my head, came from Burns running the football.
Yes, it is. Yep, you're right.
So the ball at the 26-yard line, this time it's on the far hash mark. The wind has shifted, and it's now blowing kind of kitty-corner across the field, so it will be blowing into Zach Burns. First time he's gone under center, hands it off to Laundrie. Laundrie slices through down inside the 20 to the 15-yard line, and they're just getting the gaps there.
And again, Kyle Chenard with another, I think it is.
Clayton McAlpine gets credit for
McAlpine,
the tackle.
Okay.
Let's go, Beverly!
Second and one. Hand off to Laundrie on his feet. Cuts right side. Down to about the 10. He's still a second effort. We'll get him inside the 10. Down to the dark corner of the field here. Chewed up a lot of clock. They run without a huddle. 5:20 to play in the first quarter. It is scoreless. This is the opening drive of the football game.
Well, they know where they're going.
Yeah.
They're going up the middle. Or they with Laundrie, they're going up the middle or to the right.
Kyle Cortez, wide to the right. He's had the football once. A pair of backs now in there. The handoff goes left side, and with it is Pat Quinn. Quinn down inside the 10. He's inside the 5 to about the 2, where it'll be first. Well, it's going to be second. They have room to get another first down. The first down is about the 1 foot line.
He's not really a change of pace back, is he?
No. Now the back's in the eye, behind Zach Burns. Handed off through the middle of the scrum, and Bill Rick is indicating touchdown. We'll see if the officials are saying
far
that.
Far side judge says no.
No. And so it will be at the 1 yard line, so it's first and goal for Bill Ricka from the Beverly 1. Here's Burns under center. Hands it off to Laundrie, and Laundrie is met. And he will be stopped at about the 1 yard line.
Kyle Chenard coming up.
So he'll be moved back maybe a couple of inches. It is second and goal from just inside the 1 yard line. So call it 33 inches. Like I can tell from here. Here's Burns. Again under center. Waits. Takes the snap, hands it off, and he sends it in for Quinn. And this time, Quinn is in for the touchdown, and it's 6-0, Bill Ricka.
Yeah, they faked to Laundrie as the lead back going in, and then it was to the backup, Pat Quinn coming in second. And again, just enough to make the defense take that half step to their left to account for Laundrie. And he was able to find a gap.
So Pat, 7 minutes, 10-second drive. And they're going 4-2, and it's a direct snap back to Quinn. Quinn spins around, and he will get in. So looked like they had him at the goal line, but he spins and gets in. So Pat Quinn gets the two-point conversion. And with 3 minutes and 50 seconds to play here in the first quarter, Bill Ricca takes an 8-0 lead over Beverly on MSNewsSports.com.
The Institution for Savings has always believed in giving back to our communities, because our communities are such great places to live and work. Last year alone, we donated and pledged more than $3.9 million to local nonprofits, including local hospitals, schools, food pantries, art organizations, and more. Named one of Boston Business Journal's top philanthropic companies, we are proud to be your local hometown bank. InstitutionForSavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
8-0 with 3 minutes and 50 seconds, a 75-yard drive here in the first quarter. And Beverly, with that much time gone, 7 minutes and 10 seconds, will get their hands on the football for the first time.
It's going to be important for Beverly to sustain a drive here to take some of this momentum away from Bill Ricker. Again, they basically owned the first quarter with that 75-yard drive all on the ground between Quinn, the Laundrie, and the quarterback.
Ooh, that's a little bit of a pooch kick, and it bounces down at the 40-yard line. The ball is loose, and it's on the ground. It's a live ball at the 44, and the Panthers have recovered it. They lined up with the regular kicker, Jacob Carlson, lining up to kick the ball, but I think Kevin Kennedy actually made that little kick, and they give Amir El-Sharafi credit for recovering the football, and Beverly starts off in pretty good field position at their own 44.
Yeah, the ball went up in the air, and there was a crowd all of a sudden that far side and around it. And as one of the Beverly players went to catch it, he got blasted, and the ball came loose. And then it was a scramble for it, so Beverly was lucky to get that recovery, but it puts him in very good field position.
Well, we must have missed a flag on it, too, because the ball is down at the 41-yard line.
Oh, you know what it was? I don't think the ball went 10 yards.
It didn't go
10?
Wow.
Okay.
Thought it went that far.
Yeah, that was a personal foul penalty.
Oh.
Yeah,
that
I didn't.
15
yards. That's 15 yards. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Probably it. So there's an explanation being given to both benches, because the play will start now at the 41-yard line of Bill Ricca. Kevin Morenci puts his team into motion here. They trail by 8. Moves Amir El-Sharafi to the tail. Pitches it off to Chenard, and Chenard gets met at the line of scrimmage. He'll be dropped there. There'll be no pickup, and it'll be 2nd and 10.
Now, that play took a long time to develop to get back to the line of scrimmage. Gave the Bill Ricker line, which looks like the Tewksbury line, Marty, if you think of it. Very tall, very lean. Obviously, it's going to be very quick and strong. But they were able to stand up the offensive line and give their linebackers a chance to fill in.
Something thrown on the field. Kevin Flaherty picks it up, takes it back over to the bench.
Does that count for a carry?
Yeah. Morenci in the deep drop has Chenard with him. Looks to fire. Fires near sideline. And it is incomplete, in and out of the hands of Sam Abatey.
Yeah.
He had to go up a little bit to get it.
Yeah, he had to go up, and he tipped it up in the air. And cornerback for Bill Ricca, might have been number three, Jacob Carlson, came flying in trying to make the pick. Morenci just trying to get rid of that ball too quickly. Nice throw, just a bit too high for Abatey.
3 minutes and 1 second to play here, first quarter. Bill Ricca up by a score of 8-0 on their first possession of the football game. Beverly sends two wide to the far side, single receiver to the near side. Morenci in the backfield with Chenard. Waiting the long snap. It's the 5-yard drop. Time to throw. Fires it long. It wobbles. It's intercepted. Pulled down by the Bill Ricca Indians and brought back. Taken out of the air by James Flaherty for Bill Ricca. The interception is returned back to the 40-yard line, and the pick puts Bill Ricca on offense once again with 2:51 to play in the first quarter.
Yeah, I saw him set up to throw that pass, and I looked downfield for an intended receiver. I didn't really see anybody clear. It was a bit of a wobbler, and again, the defensive back stepped up, made the play. I think he should have thrown probably underneath that intended receiver.
So Zach Burns back out on offense. He doesn't get a chance to take a breath. First and 10, but he'll be happy to be there on his own 40-yard line. Hands it off to Laundrie. Laundrie up to the 45-yard line, draws a couple of Beverly players with him before they bring him down. Johnny Jones in on the tackle for the Panthers. Second and 5. Clark Marchand, all credit, also credit on the tackle. Second and 5. Off the snap, this time hanging onto it as Zach Burns, the quarterback, turns the corner right side, gets down inside the 50 to the 48, so he'll have a first down there. And Burns showing that he can run as well as the rest of the backfield.
Yeah, he certainly can. And again, he, you know, the advantage that he has is he's got Laundrie out there leading him, and it's almost like he's waiting for a possible pitch, and you've got to respect that. So your corners and your outside linebackers have to give way a bit.
Hands off to Laundrie, and Laundrie gets to the line of scrimmage down to the 45-yard line. It opened up a little bit and then closed right back up. Nick shares the tackle for the Panthers. The gain is 4. Also in there was Clayton McAlpine for Beverly. They don't actually formally huddle up, Bill Ricca. They kind of stand around and wait for the play call to come in from the far sideline and then just go and implement it. And Zach Burns looks at the play sheet on his left wrist from the shot. Looks, hands it off for Laundrie, and Laundrie is wrapped up. And he'll be dropped for a loss back at the 47. Quickly through for Beverly's McAlpine.
Yeah, he read that really well. Come off his right defensive end position and just hopped on the back.
1:11 to play in the first quarter, an 8-0 Bill Ricca lead here at Bill Ricca High School. The loss is marked at 1. The ball's at the Beverly 46, where it is 3rd down and 7. Burns has Cortez and Laundrie out there. Two wides now to the far side. Single back in the backfield. Fake it to Laundrie. And here is Burns looking. Fires a bullet downfield, and it is complete at the 28. Tries to turn around and go a little bit further downfield. Doesn't get it, as the pass was complete to Dean Brooks.
Watching his throwing motion, he threw that almost at a downward angle. He stayed real tall, and he's tall to begin with, but he had a real high release point, and that was a line drive. That was a bullet.
15-yard pass completion, the ball at the 29. Fresh first and 10 with 24 seconds to play in the first quarter. An 8-0 Bill Ricca lead. Zach Burns, again two receivers. Burns holds onto it himself, turns corner right side, gets through a little bit of running room, down to the 25 and down to the 24 before he's tripped up there, and the gain will be about 6. And that will end the first quarter here, as the scoreboard clock will be the official clock, and we've got one quarter of a very fast-moving football game in the books, and Bill Ricca leads Beverly by a score of 8-0 on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
They move the chains down from our left to our right, get them all settled, and the second quarter is about to get underway here, and when it does, it will be 2nd down and 5 for Bill Ricca from the Beverly 24-yard line.
When we have a moment, I want to talk to Phil Stacey about the recently announced football dinner that they're going to put on after the season.
They get set to wind the clock up. This has been not really a huddle, but it's been about the only time that we've seen Bill Ricka huddle up, and they are back at their 32-yard line. Beverly gets themselves into formation on defense. I'm going to bug Phil in a few seconds, too, to find out how many plays that scoring drive consumed in 7 minutes and 10 seconds. Two receivers to the near side. Single back now is Cortez. Up man is Laundrie. Handed off to Cortez, and Cortez is going to get strung out, and he'll be dropped for a loss back to the original line of scrimmage. It is the 27-yard line.
Number 84 on that play.
It's Kellis for Beverly with the tackle. The loss is, they're going to mark it down, a loss of 2, so it is 3rd down and 7 here in the opening moments of the second quarter. Burns puts Brooks out, split to the right. Up man is Laundrie. Back with him is Cortez. Hand it off now to Cortez, I believe that is, and he'll get down to the 35. It will be short of the first down. They needed to get inside the 20, and he got to the 25.
That'll be really good. They've got to find a way to make 2 stops here, get the ball back.
Well, it's 4th and 5.
Oh, it's 4th. Oh.
And the last time we saw them on 4th down and go for it, it was Zach Burns taking the football and just running with it. He's all alone in the backfield. Receivers to either side. Takes the drop, fires the bullet, and it is complete, but down on the reception for Bill Ricka. And it will be, I think he's going to be close to 1st down. It is. It's 1st down yardage. But it was very close. And Beverly is saying that it was an incomplete pass, that he was down on his knee when he made that reception. The officials disagree. No instant replay. You can't throw the beanbag. So Burns again with a fresh 1st and 10.
I actually thought he was down. His knee was down as well.
At the top of the red zone. All alone in the backfield. Burns takes a step back. Looks, airs it out long, long, and deep. And it is incomplete. Nice coverage by the Beverly Panthers. Is that Kellis back there?
I think that's a Beatty.
The Beatty?
I think.
Johnny Jones defending the pass for the Panthers.
Oh, okay, Johnny Jones back there.
Yep.
Johnny Jones leaped. He turned. He saw the receiver starting to look and reach, so he turned around and leapt up in the air, and he may just have distracted the receiver enough because it went just through his hands. Great throw by the quarterback, though. Wow. Right on the money.
2nd and 10 from the Beverly 17 from the far hash mark. Laundrie, the lone back. They'll hand it off to him. He gets away from a tackle, gets down inside the 15 to about the 14-yard line, where it'll be 3rd down and a long 5.
We got news from Bill Newell that we are loud and clear.
All the way down in New York, huh?
Pardon?
All the way down in New York. He's got good rabbit ears to pick us up down there. All right, spun around, and there'll be no gain on the play. It's like, don't know if that was Laundrie with the ball off the bottom of the pile. Might have been. So either way, it is 4th down and 5. Oh, Feisch gets credit for the tackle. 4th down, and we're going to call it 5 from here, just based on the angle. Laundrie, the only back, standing immediately to the right of Zach Burns, the quarterback. On 4th down, Burns rolls out to pass, looks, doesn't have a receiver, runs to the near sideline. He's got pursuit. He dumps the ball off, and Beverly smartly elects not to intercept it. That's Jones. It was thrown right at him, and he said, I don't want this.
It was funny. It looks like he was calling for a fair catch. He sort of backed up behind it, had his hands out to either side, not letting anybody of the Beverly Panthers come in and try to take that ball away from him. And we couldn't hear from here, but I'm sure he was real loud. Let it fall.
So it is 1st down and 10 for the Panthers. Their field position is improved by 5 or 6 yards from taking it over on downs, but they are still deep in their own territory at their own 14-yard line. From the shotgun again, it's Morency. Morency spun around, and he'll be dropped for a loss. He did not have anybody open downfield as he was starting to look.
Yeah, you know, but in that case, you're that deep in your own territory. If you don't see anybody, just get outside as fast as you can and throw that ball out of bounds, or at least throw it towards the intended receiver. You got to throw it over his head or bounce it in front of him. But don't take that kind of a loss that deep in your own territory.
Yeah, that's an 8-yard loss for the Panthers. Makes it second and 18 from their own 5-yard line. The ball resting right on the 5-yard line on the far hash mark. As the Panthers now are moving from our right to our left, the wind is swirling and it's more or less blowing from the quarterback's right to his left. Beverly again, two wides to the near side. This time under center is Morency. Hands the ball off in the backfield, strung out, and that is Chouinard, I believe, coming, and he will get maybe about a yard. He ran a long distance from left to right, but didn't get more than about a yard, turning upfield. That's actually Markham with a loss of one, and it'll put the ball back at the 4, this time at the near hash mark.
Oh, Gloucester has scored. Jermaine Edwards has plunged in at 7-0. Gloucester over Wakefield in the second quarter. Marvel Hedges had a big fourth down stop.
They're on our other side if you're looking for that game tonight, if you're listening on Friday night. Two wides to the far side now. Back to passes, Morency. He's got pursuit, dumps it off, and it's short of Chouinard, and it will set up fourth. That was fourth down. But no, that sets up fourth down. The guy on the down marker was a little quick on the draw.
Jason Lopez has scored for Marblehead. They're up 6-0 at the end of one.
6:35 to play here in the first half, and Billerica leads 8-0. And there's that wind again.
Well, Marty, you're hanging out the window.
I know. That's so that I can see what's going on down there. Luke St. Perry will kick from the back of his own end zone, punting the football away. And he will punt to Jimmy Best on the near side. And it is fielded cleanly at the 35, still on his feet, down to the 30, turns around. He's at the 25 and heads to the far sideline and finally spun around, and something just went flying on the field.
And that would have been a flag from the far side, Jeff. Could be a block in the back, could be a hold over there.
So Samperi's punt went all the way out to the 40 from his own, the back of his own end zone. And Morgan Mulkeren picked up the football and ran with it downfield. We'll see where they spot the ball. It's the far corners are a little dark here.
Let's see.
Block in the back against the Indians. A personal foul face mask.
Let's see.
Against the Panthers.
We've got offsetting penalties, block in the back, and a personal foul face mask. So I think they're. Let's see, they're spreading this thing out.
Penalties offset, making kick again.
They can kick again. What we used to call a do over.
A do over, yeah. You don't hear that anymore.
No.
Okay, just to show your age, Marty.
Yeah, well.
We know all these that I've never heard nowadays.
That, and then I'm having a hard time seeing into the dark corners, too.
That just, it's like being a marble head. No, the old Salem. Peabody.
Yes. Yeah. Or on those rare nights when Beverly would bring the portable lights in and there'd be these dark pools on the field.
I remember one year we were doing Gloucester Peabody. Anthony Enderley ran down the far sideline from our left to right, and he ran into the darkness, and we couldn't tell whether he had scored or not because he faded into the darkness. That was classic. Poor Rick. I think he scored, but I can't find him.
It doesn't merit a do-over, unfortunately, and it will be 1st and 10 from the 15.
What do they
for Bill Ricca.
Negotiate the placement of the ball?
They must. Well, 1st and 10 from the 15.
That's kind of weird.
For Bill Ricca. 6:19 to play here in the first half. They lead 8-0. I apologize to the people who are standing in front of me that have to listen to me. Two backs in the backfield. Handed off to Laundrie. Laundrie slices through. Heads into the end zone. And he's in there. Touchdown.
Again, he stays tall. As tall as he is. But he's a battering ram. Again, if you're not getting him down low by the knees to the ankles, he's going to break away, and that's what happened there. There were a couple of attempted arm tackles up top, just way too strong, way too fast, just busted through the attempted tackles by the Panthers.
14-0 on the, should say, 16-yard? 16-yard run. After the defense of Bill Ricca held the Panthers A couple of weird offsetting penalties. Bill Ricca wound up with the football anyways. And now Jacob Carlson set to kick. And he'll kick out of the hole to the quarterback. There's the kick. It's a high spiral, and it is good. So with 6:12 to play here in the first half, it is... Can't be 6 is, it can only be 15 to nothing, right? Yeah, 15 to nothing here on MSN News Sports.
Make it a bit you go, buddy. Come on, it's modern math. We ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, all right. So we'll be right back.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Derek Laundry with his first touchdown of the game. He's got 80 yards on 7 carries?
17
carries. And one touchdown here. Carlson will kick the ball off, and it's got plenty of steam on it, and it's picked up cleanly by Chenard at his own 9. He's up at the 15. He's up at the 20. Jukes around and gets hit hard at about the 22-yard line, and it'll be 1st and 10 for the Panthers at their own 22.
Yeah, brought down by number 12, co-captain Dean Brooks. 6'1", 200 pounds, another junior.
So Beverly's third possession of the football game. You had their stats. How many? They've run 6 plays from offense?
They've had 6 offensive plays, 2 punts, and 2 minutes and 35 seconds, I believe it was, according to our crack statistician. And
we've played almost 16 minutes of the first half.
Yeah, Lopez on a touchdown. Yep.
Beverly with quarterback Kevin Morency under center. Hands it off to Chenard, doesn't get a hole, finally gets one, but not before. And then he is just closed up as quickly as it opened, and he's pushed back and slammed down there by none other than Derek Laundry.
Yeah, he bounced off a blocker, saw something to his left, but by the time he got there were 4 guys coming through the door in front of him.
Kevin Flaherty checks into the game for the Panthers. Nick Gonzalez comes out to be on the line. Chris Cole comes off the field totally.
Speaking of Flaherty, we want to congratulate Brendan Flaherty. Finishes up his college career. I can't believe it's over already.
Wow.
He has 1 game this weekend left to play. And he has just had an outstanding career out at Holy Cross.
Yankee Stadium.
Oh, and they're playing at Yankee Stadium. Yeah.
All right. We've got time taken on the field here by the Panthers, and it may be that they took a little too long getting set up. We'll see. But either way, they call a timeout. 5:19 to play here in the first half. 15-0 with Bill Ricca leading. You had some out-of-town scores?
We did. Again, Gloucester 6-0. Marblehead 6-0 in their game against North Reading. Very stingy game so far. That was both in the second quarter. Triton up 14-6 on Watertown. Let's see. Ainsbury Trail Swamps get 21-14. See what else we can find here.
Last night, Classical with their first win of the season over Malden, 27-21. Situation here. 5:19 to play in the first half. Beverly will have the football when play resumes after the timeout. Sam Mabady comes into the huddle for the Panthers. Morency has them huddled up at his own 10-yard line. The line of scrimmage is the Beverly 23. Make it where it is 2nd down and 10, and the backs are in that stack eye. The ends are close. And they hand it off to the end for Chenard, and the play is sniffed out, but he does manage to cut over and get up to the 25, so it's a hard-earned gain of 3, and it'll be 3rd and 7. And Kevin Morency comes to the sideline, gets himself a play call. Kevin Flaherty checks into the game. That'll bring Sam Mabady out for the Panthers. Out on the defensive line. That's Nick Jardina for Bill Ricca. Big pitch around for Chouinard. Hops over a block, goes on the ground, and he will be downed there. And the ball is loose, and I'm judging by the reaction on the far sideline, they might have thought that there was a fumble. Doesn't matter. It's fourth down, and the loss will be back to the 20-yard line, to the 21. So it's fourth and 11, and once again, Beverly will be forced to punt.
St. Mary's 8, Stoneham nothing, 10:45 left in the second quarter.
Ooh, that's at Manning Field, right?
Yes.
Kevin Kennedy, the lone receiver for the punt off of Luke Senperi. Senperi at his own 10. Gets a foot into it. Has good hang time and taken by Kennedy at his 35. Cuts over left side. Tries to cut back. Still on his feet at midfield. Gets up away from a tackle. Comes to the near sideline at the 45. Has a lane at the 40. Down to the 35 and pushed out of bounds. Into the Beverly bench at the 30.
Kind of surprised there wasn't a flag thrown on the first Beverly defender down there, because he definitely took a shove in the back.
So Kennedy fielded it at the 45 and brings it back to the 30. So it's 10, 25-yard, 26-yard return for Kennedy, and tremendous field position once again for Bill Ricca. They have a 15-0 lead with 3:46 to play in the first half.
Yeah, I thought Beverly had wrapped him up midfield around the 45-yard line. All of a sudden, he just bounced backwards and took off to the near side of the field coming towards us and was able to turn the corner.
If he's 5'8", 150, I don't see 158.
I
think he spent a lot of time in the weight room.
I think he did. I think 150 of it is from the waist up.
Zach Burns in the shotgun. Cortez to his left. Motion man as Brooks comes left to right. Back to throw is Burns. Fires it downfield, and it is batted down by the Panthers. Once again, that's
Johnny Jones.
That's a Beatty. You're right. No, I think that might be Flaherty, actually. No, that's a Beatty. You're correct. Batted it down. Intended receiver was Jacob Carlson, and he was down at about the 2-yard line when it was batted down. So it is second and 10, the ball at the Beverly 30 on the near hash mark. As the Billerica Indians move from our left to our right, 3 minutes 40 seconds to play in the first half. Laundry remains in the backfield. Brooks is back there with him. Cortez is back there with him. Checking out of the game is Herbie Pierre for Bill Ricca. We've got timeout taken here with 3 minutes and 40 seconds to play, and timeout will be taken by the Tewksbury Indians. So here, with 3 minutes and 40 seconds to play in the first half, it's 15-0 Bill Ricca on MSONewsSports.com.
If you are interested in replacing your home's kitchen cabinets, please see the kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of Moynihan Lumber's 3 locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
It's been all Tewksbury here. What are you looking for the light switch?
Yeah.
It's right behind our desk.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. You can put us in the dark? No. We're doing a little inside work here. We're going to turn off the lights. Maybe. Oh, okay. I can see you.
We now have...
Which is okay.
We're now broadcasting by the light of the computer screen.
All right, it's a reverse. It goes back again on the option to Burns, and Burns now in pursuit. Looks, fires it downfield, and it is incomplete. If it had been caught, it would have been out of bounds anyways. That's the 1-2-3, you run to the tree.
He had a lot of room to run, had he decided to pull that down.
Chouinard is the pass defender. Jacob Carlson was the intended receiver, and he had it about the 5-yard line downfield. So that now we have a third down and 10 for Bill Ricca on the Beverly 30-yard line, just inside of the hash mark on the near side, as the Indians move from our left to our right. Laundrie in the backfield with Burns. Burns hands it off to Laundrie, tucks it in, runs into a wall at the line of scrimmage, pulls the wall down, and he will get down to the 22-yard line. He will be short of the first down by about 2 yards, so it'll be fourth and two, but they're just outside the red zone are the Indians for Bill Recca, with 3 minutes 11 seconds and the clock running. So the gain is 8, and it's fourth and actually a long 2 for Bill Recca, and you can tell which way the wind is blowing. It's blowing right across the field. A chill wind, as you'd expect on a Veterans Day night here under the lights in Bill Recca. Laundrie the lone back in the backfield. They hand it off to him. He puts his head down. He's got the first down. He's inside the 20 to the 19.
And they're just eating up time on the ground, keeping it in the dirt in the middle of the field.
Just pure power running straight through the middle. Clark Marchand, Jake Beal on the tackle for the Panthers. First and 10 for the Indians. They're at the 18-yard line of Beverly. Hand off again to Laundrie. Puts his head down to the 15 and inside to the 14. And he's just slicing through.
Well, you can see where Bill Ricker averages about 35 points a game. Yeah. You know, they don't give anything up on offense. And they take their time on defense. They give anything up on defense, and they take their time on offense. And
here's the handoff again to Laundrie. On the left side, gets through, gets down inside the 10 to the 9. He needed to get to the 10 for the first down. So he's got another one, and it will be first and goal from the 8-yard line, the Beverly 8-yard line. And we are under 2 minutes to play in the first half, and the clock continues to run here. A 15-0 lead for the Bill Recca Indians. They look to the far sideline for the play call. Nothing fancy, no placards coming from the other side with little stick figures and emoticons to call the play. The snap, Burns keeps it, runs right side, and boy, is he upended. Flags everywhere. He got whacked as he turned the corner around the 9-yard line.
I hope they're not going to call some kind of roughing penalty on that, because, I mean, he's the one who's been flying into the line.
Yeah.
And Beverly just made a great hit and took him down.
Blocking below the knees, and the call goes against Bill Recca. It's a chop block against Bill Recca.
Well, that could explain why the Beverly play came flying into him in that fashion, too. Triton has gone up 21-6 on Watertown as there was a fumbled on an option pitch, and the recovery was running for a touchdown.
Pat Gavin checks back into the game for Beverly. They're going to move the football back on this penalty, and it'll move it to the 21-yard line. So it's first and goal from the 22. So first and goal from the 22. Put the clock back in motion with 90 seconds to play here in the first half. Bill Recca with the football and a 15-point lead here. Send a single receiver wide to the left side. Looking back to pass is Burns. Burns fires that bullet, and he gets it to Dean Brooks. Brooks is upended at the 10. Knocked down there on the far side, so it will be second and goal from the 10-yard line. Hugh Callis is credit for the tackle, and Bill Recca is going to take a timeout here with a minute and 6 seconds to play in the first half. They're going to take a full timeout.
Oh, that was a nice little drag pattern across underneath the downfield receivers by Brooks. He went right to left and was wide open as he got near the far left, the far hash marks. And again, good read by Burns. Just waited, and then dumped it off. Manchester Essex leads Lynn Tech 14-8. Robbie Simonian has 2 touchdown runs, 10 yards and 3 yards. King Philip 14, Bridgewater Random 7, for those who are interested. 13-0 Fisherman, Christian Sanfilippo, went 39 yards for a touchdown, and he keeps adding and adding to that record total that lost to high school for career rushing yards. Started the evening with 3,039, I believe it was.
So second and goal from the Beverly 10 with 66 seconds to play in the first half. Here in Bill Recca, back to pass. Quarterback Burns has some time, steps into the pocket, fires in it. It is complete, and it's complete to the goal line. Others say
it
dropped it. So it's incomplete. So it'll be fourth and goal That was intended for Dean Brooks. And they'll give Abatey credit for the breakup there. Second, third and goal from the 10.
Dustin Pedroia won the Defensive Player of the Year at second base.
Ooh.
We're talking about picking up some hardware in the offseason. Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, and David Ortiz won the Silver Bats for the hitting at their positions this year.
Excellent.
No World Series title, but Brighton leads Mystic Valley 20-14.
Ooh. 1 minute to play here in the half. Another full timeout taken by Bill Ricca. Halftime, we're going to catch up with Coach Sigsbury, are we?
Yes, we will. Yes. But first, we're going to have a quick word with Mrs. Stacy to talk about...
I think we can do that.
Yeah, we can fit him in, you know.
We'll set it up for you. 60 seconds to play in the half. 15-0 is our score here with the Billerica Indians leading the Beverly Panthers. It's the MIAA Division II North playoffs. It's the finals. The winner here plays next Saturday against the winner of the Duxbury game, which is being played at the same time. Gus Gobiel wide to the right side. Two backs back there with the quarterback, and Burns looks, has pursuit, gets away from it, now runs to the far side and runs the sideline, and he will be pushed out of bounds inside the 10 at about the 7-yard line. Boy, I don't know where he found that second gear to miss that, to avoid that tackle who almost had him back at about the 15.
Oh, I'll tell you, it was just a... just a nice slip move, and again, like you said, he just found that next gear to get down the field.
So we're going to see a field goal attempt here on fourth down. And it's Jacob Carlson. He will kick out of the hold of Zach Burns. The ball will be spotted at the 15-yard line off the long snap. The wind is blowing across the field, so it will be blowing from the kicker's left to right. 25-yard field goal attempt. There it is. It is high, and it is good. It had plenty of height, and these are the short goalposts, so it's a little hard to forecast it.
I think they're common in this league because at Tewksbury they were the same. Kind of hard to tell.
So Jacob Carlson's 25-yard field goal makes it 18-0 with 47 seconds to play here in the first half.
We'll go to one of our sponsors. We'll be right back.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Jacob Carlson, fresh off of his 25-yard field goal, gives his team an 18-point lead. We'll kick off from the 40, Abatey and Chouinard. Abatey at the 18-yard line, Chouinard back at the 10. Chouinard on the far side, Abatey to the near side, 47 seconds to play. It's another one of these squib kicks, and I don't think it went the 10 yards, but it will be recovered at the 48. It was batted down just over midfield. I think they're going to say it made it over the 50 before it got batted down, and Beverly will have the football at the 48-yard line of Tewksbury, and they have 42 seconds to do something with it to break the shutout that they have had pitched at them in the first half.
It's like Randy Amanza on that ball for Beverly. Again, came up quickly. There were three or four Bill Ricker plays around that ball, and he managed to squeeze in underneath them. So Beverly, once again, as a result of the attempted onside kick, gets good starting field position, but they've just got to be able to do something with it. Haven't gone anywhere so far tonight.
It's confidence in your defense to do something like that. It's Morenci hanging on to the football. He's at the 45, runs down to the 42, wrapped up and thrown down there. They'll mark him down at the 43.
Again, just a real quick hit, a real decisive play, just took it and ran. That was a designed run for him, and again, I think they caught Bill Ricker a little flat-footed, but you see how fast they recovered, Marty. And you're right, you know, you can do those kind of things if you believe your defense can stop anybody at any time, and they've certainly shown that they have that capability tonight. My outside sources, or inside sources in this case, report that Marblehead is up 14-0 now.
That game is on our other, on our sister channel here tonight. Rick Moore and Paul Ingram bringing you the play call of that. That is will also be available a little bit later on video. We have a delayed video situation because we are in the finals of the MIAA high school football playoffs. Different set of rules kick in this week.
Watertown has scored again against Trident. It's 21-12.
Now, there's a field I worked at that had plenty of dark spots and had no press box. Did everything
well,
like flashlight and
I'll
batteries. Yeah. And if I remember right, just as it was fitting because it was the last year of WESX and it was they had a blackout just as the game ended.
So literally shut the lights off and go home.
More ways than one.
They didn't wait for me to turn the switch.
Second and six for the Panthers from the Bill Ricca 43-yard line. Morenci back deep. Two wides to the near side. Single wide to the far side. Chouinard is in to cut the coverage. Morenci doesn't have anybody open. Now fires it downfield, and the only guy to come up with it was the head coach of Tewksbury. Gathered that in with one hand.
And he got a great round of applause from the fans. St. Mary's has gone up 14-0. James Brunfield, 63-yard run.
Third and six for the Panthers. Chouinard and Abatey now to the near side with Flaherty. So three receivers near side. Back to pass with time. Fires downfield for Morenci, and it is batted down. It was going to Abatey. And it got batted down as somebody came across field and pushed it away from him. So it's fourth down now and 20 seconds to play here in the first half. Beverly trailing 18-0. Fourth and six for the Panthers. They need to get to the 37-yard line. And they are at the 44, and we've got another timeout taken here.
Triton has responded right away to the Watertown touchdown. 27-12 now, 2:59 to play.
So the winner here plays at Cawley Stadium next week. The winner of the Marblehead game gets a bye next week.
Yes, they do. Yes,
they are
right to the game. St. Mary's 16-0 at the half against Stoneham. Marblehead at halftime has 220 yards of offense to 36 for North Reading, which I think will come as a surprise to a lot of people.
Mm. Especially after that win over Danvers last week.
Exactly.
20 seconds to play here in the first half, 18-0. Bill Ricca leading Beverly. We are at Bill Ricca. And this has been the laundry show thus far. For Bill Ricca. This might be Beverly's longest possession in terms of real time, only because of all the timeouts. This drive starts right around the 47-yard line. Does Beverly have a first down?
No.
Beverly does not have a first down in the first half.
That is defensive dominance when you keep your opponents to three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out.
Trips to the near side. Single back with Morenci. Has time to throw. No, he doesn't. Steps up, gets away from a tackle, looks, fires downfield, and it is incomplete. Firing just a little bit too far for his intended receiver on the far side of the field. And
that's Abatey again.
Abatey and Bill Ricca will take the ball over on downs, first and 10 from their own 47-yard line. 13 seconds. The clock has stopped on the change of possessions.
Yeah, Morenci has just not been able to get his feet set to get behind the ball in the last couple of passing attempts. He's been flushed out of the pocket. He's moving to his right, and again, what's happening is the ball is just being led too far in front of his intended receiver.
Two backs with Burns and the 7-yard drop. Handed off to Laundry, cuts right side up over the 45 on his feet at midfield. One, two, three, four guys wrap him up at the Beverly 49 and push him back. 5 seconds to play here in the first half, and timeout taken by Bill Ricca. Chouinard gets credit for the tackle.
Chouinard and Flaherty both on that. Flaherty had him first. Chouinard come up with the finishing touches on him.
The gain is 8, second and 2. When play resumes, there'll be theoretically the last play of the first half. A rapidly moving football game. 18-0. Bill Ricca on top at the Beverly 49-yard line. We've seen Burns go to the air. He fires a bullet, and you've pointed it out. It starts high and comes low.
Yeah, he's a pitcher. He's a pitcher.
We'll see if he decides to air it out here. He's got single receiver to the near side. Instead, they hand it off. It's that reverse again, this time to Carlson, and Carlson is wrapped up deep in his own territory back at the 45-yard line. The loss will be six, but that is the way the first half will come to an end. One half is in the books, and the Billerica Indians lead the Beverly Panthers by a score of 18 to nothing on MIAA High School Football Division Champions on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, this is Saka Sarkisian, owner of Sarkisian Sportswear, located on Route 1 South in Peabody. We are a sports team dealer and custom apparel distributor that can handle all of your team's or company's uniform and apparel needs. So stop by and visit us at 182 Newbury Street in Peabody to see our storefront. Visit with our friendly and helpful staff and let us help you get the right fit for your program. Also, you can visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials and learn more about us.
We're back, and we're waiting for Mr. Stenographer next to us to finish up so we can talk to him about the Salem News football banquet that's going to be held this year, early December, I believe it will be. And he's totaling up the Beverly offensive numbers, which shouldn't take him a whole lot of time because there has not been a whole lot of offense for Beverly in this first half due to the outstanding defense of the Billerica Redmen. I'll tell you, it has just been suffocating. And they've just not allowed Beverly to get any kind of momentum going.
Well, it's that, and it's also the Billerica offense has been on the field for a whole long time. They had the first 7 minutes and 10 seconds of the first quarter was a 75-yard drive that led to that first touchdown.
Yeah, and you know, when your play is going both ways and you start out the game and you're on the field for an extended period and you're going backwards, it's easy to go forward. But when you're playing backing up, it takes a lot more out of your legs. It's something you're not conditioned to doing. And certainly to start the game in this, it's cool. You know, it's not cold, but, you know, as the weather changes, your body has to adjust to it. And they came out and they just pushed the ball down the field against Beverly. Chunk. It was all just chunks. You know, it wasn't any huge runs by Laundrie, but they just kept getting first downs. They had, I think, three fourth down plays where they got first downs. So Beverly was making, you know, making them pay for it, but they were just able to, again, just to continue to accumulate yardage and put it in, and then on the next possession, Beverly turns it over on the interception. Okay, Phil's ready.
I am ready. Yes.
Want to welcome
patience with me, yeah.
Phil Stace, the sports editor of the Salem News, is our guest as he normally is through most of our broadcast. And Phil, just want to talk for a couple of minutes about the inaugural Salem News football dinner.
Yeah, we're pretty stoked about it. It should be pretty fun, I think. You know, it's an idea we've been kicking around for a while, and how could we do it, and how would this be feasible, and, you know, how can we invite the right number of kids, and is there enough time? As you know, it's such a short window between the end of the season and when the winter sports start and all, but we were able to put it together, and it should be great. You know, if anything, I wish we could include the kids from Cape Ann, Gloucester, and Manchester Essex, but we're just keeping it to the teams in our area, so you're talking Beverly, Salem, Danvers, PUD, Swampscott, Marblehead, Masconomet, Ipswich, Hamilton, Wenham, Pingree, St. John's Prep, Bishop Fenwick, and Essex Tech. So, you know, we'll have 35 kids from those 13 schools.
And that becomes a difficult part. How do you pick that number out of that many players?
Well, you know, Matt Williams and I tried to start it the other day, and we came up with an initial list of, I think it was 62.
Yeah.
So, and you want to make sure you have linemen and, you know, guys who play special teams. You can't have 40 running backs.
Exactly, yeah.
So we're trying to whittle away at that. And, you know, obviously we look for input from various coaches and things like that. But I think we're getting it down to somewhat manageable. We were at like 43 the last time we checked. So.
Okay. Now, right. Date, where's it going to be and what date and time?
It'll be at the Danvers Sport Yacht Club on Tuesday, December 6th. It'll be at 6 p.m. It's not going to be, you know, long, drawn-out thing. We're looking at maybe 2 hours. There'll be a dinner. We'll recognize each of the 35 players. They'll get, you know, something from us for being named an All-Star. We're really excited about the guest speaker we have, Mark Bavaro, the all-time great, is going to speak at our banquet. I mean, that's a home run right there, I feel like, for us.
It certainly is.
The parents might be more excited than some of the players, you know, see Mark there. But Mark will speak. And what's kind of neat is we've always done with all of our All-Star teams that run in the paper, which we'll still do, but we pick a player of the year. For this, we're going to have a player of the year. We're going to give out an offensive MVP, a defensive MVP, a lineman of the year. So we recognize the big uglies.
Yep.
And a coach of the year. So it should be a great time. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback from it already since it's been made known. And, you know, we're excited by the possibilities of what could happen.
Yeah, I think that the best introduction they could have for Mike Bavaro is to show that one pass completion he had where he dragged like five guys about 15 yards down the field. That was the most amazing play.
I know you guys
still talk about it.
I know you guys know Mark, and Mark is really soft-spoken. Mark does not like the spotlight. He doesn't like to do this kind of stuff. But he's very, very gracious in saying that he would do it for us. And we're really thankful that he's taken time. I mean, Mark, obviously, his son, Lucas, is, you know, done it. Well, he's just finishing up at Dartmouth. So it's not like he has any ties to anyone playing or anything like
right.
that. He's doing this as a great community service thing, and really appreciate it.
And certainly the message that he'll have, like I said, he's soft-spoken. So the message he's going to have isn't going to be a loud, brash kind of statement. It's going to be a message with real meaning.
You're right. You know, and that, to me, and you hope it is for the young men that will be in the audience at night, will be more impactful, I feel like. You know, those words carry a lot of weight because he chooses them carefully.
Exactly.
So, I think it's going to be a fantastic night. And Tim, I should say, too, that, you know, this is not an event that's exclusive to players and their parents. This is something that any one of our listeners, fans, relatives, school administrators, coaches, we encourage everybody to come. You can purchase tickets. If you read my story, there's a link that you can go on there and get tickets. They're $25 a piece. And, you know, we realize it's the holiday time, but for a good meal and to recognize these kids, I think it's a worthwhile investment for anybody looking to go. So we really hope we get a great turnout from the North Shore community.
Excellent. Quick couple of thoughts on the first half.
I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. Bill Ricka has dominated from start to finish. You guys made a great point about saying how it's not only laundry that just pounds away at that Beverly line, but when the quarterback is trying to run, when Burns comes out and he has Laundrie as a lead blocker, he's really chewing up big chunks of yards. They're getting all kinds of fourth down plays. The time of possession, which I kept here, was staggering in Bill Ricka's favor. I think out of the 22 minutes, it was 16 minutes and 20 seconds they had the ball. Beverly only ran 13 offensive plays. All six passes were incomplete. The 7 rushes, if you factor in the sack, led to minus 5 yards. So they do not have a first down. They do not have any positive offense. It's been everything they probably hoped that it wasn't. And yet, you know what?
They're in the game.
They get the ball to start the second half, and literally it couldn't be worse in the second half than
right.
it was in the first half. So, you know what? If they can find a way to move the ball downfield and score, and you may say you make it 18-7, it's a ball game.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe you get Bill Ricka thinking a little bit, like, hey, what are we doing differently?
A turnover. You don't get a short field, punch in another one, all of a sudden, now they really, like I said, they really start to think about this now.
Well,
are they going to do, are they going to take it away from us like they took it away from Tewksbury last
year? Yeah. Hey, I grew up with Andy Morenci, the Beverly coach. I mean, St. John's CCD way back in, like, fourth grade, all the way back then. So
didn't do any good, did it?
Not for me.
No.
Not for me, no. I'm just glad my kids don't know what a sinner I am. No, I mean, I know Andrew and all his coaching staff very well, and I'm sure that their message in this room is don't feel sorry for yourself. There's still 22 minutes of football to play. They may think they have this one. Most people in the stands may think they have this one, but this game is not over. Go out and play the way that we've played for 9 games this season. Don't feel bad for yourselves. Do something about it.
Right.
And that's the message that they should carry onto the field here at, is it Calabrese Field,
yes.
I want to say? Yes, thank you. That's the message they should carry out onto the field here. Now, as Marty's made mention of several times, the wind isn't really blowing in one direction or the other. It's more kind of across the field. And it's been pretty steady blowing from the Bill Ricka sidelines towards where we are in the Beverly, well, we're not in the stands, we're above the stands, but towards these stands, the Beverly sidelines. So it doesn't look as though that's going to affect a passing game or whatever. I think the biggest thing for Beverly is that offensive line has to find a way to slow down that pass rush of Bill Ricka. Kevin Renzi has no time to set up shop at all.
They may just have to roll him out right away. It's just steal the edge, let him roll underneath and slip a Beatty and maybe Flaherty underneath and try to get them to back off a little bit.
Yeah, and one thing that I noticed, too, is because of that pass rush, they're keeping Kalise back. So there's a good pass-catching option as a tight end. They can't use him because they need him in to block this wave of defenders that's coming for Bill Ricka.
We also have some Irish step dancers in the far corner of the booth here as try to keep their feet warm.
I don't envy those guys out there on a cold night broadcasting this one.
For sure. All right, Phil, thanks a lot as usual, and we'll be right back. We're going to play part of the interview from Coach Silsby that we didn't get a chance to play in the pregame. So you listen to MSO Web Radio. MSO Web Radio.
Next, gentlemen.
MSO New Sports.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you, Phil.
All right, we're back live now with Bill Ricka, Coach Dwayne Sigsbury. Hi, Coach.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing okay. Listen, were you up here on the North Shore coaching at one time?
Manchester Wrestling Basketball.
That's what I thought. I knew that. Miss you. I just missed you when you left. Well, anyway, listen, congratulations on a fantastic year that you put together. We'll talk about your playoff game in a minute here. But, Coach, tell us about the terrific season you guys have had so far.
I know, we have a great group of kids. Three years ago when I took over the program, we only had 42 kids in the program, and now we're over 100. And wow. We had some success last year, and it's carried over into this year, and we have a lot of kids in the community that are really excited about football, so it's a good thing. It's a great community, a great football town, so...
Looking at some of your wins, Coach, and the two that just pop off the schedule are, of course, Andover and Everett. And I'm guessing along about that time, did you realize maybe that you could really go somewhere with these guys?
Yeah, the kids, they really bought into the program, and they've worked extremely hard, 7-on-7, and conditioning in the off season, and we knew coming into the staff that Rutgers always had great athletes. It was just putting them together and getting them all in the same direction and instilling some discipline and it's kind of taken off from there. I knew that we had a chance to be a good football team, and I knew that we could compete with anybody that we were going to play. It's just a matter of staying healthy and doing all the little things.
Coach, have you seen the film of the Beverly Tewksbury game?
I was there. I was at the game.
Oh, you were at the game. Okay. I was going to ask that first. I figured maybe he was a bit busy. Your thoughts as that game unfolded?
I knew it was going to be I could tell in the beginning of the game that physically Beverly was going to be able to hang with Tewksbury. And, my assistant coach and I said it's going to come down to you know, the fourth quarter. We actually thought it was going to be like, 17-14, 14-10, but, you know, it was 9-8, but, you know, they left some points on the field, both teams. They're both good teams, you know, and, that was a great, great high school football game.
Yeah, I compared it to a heavyweight match where they went to the middle of the ring and they just slugged it out.
Exactly. Yeah.
And,
they just had each other.
Yeah, it really was. There was no give and take on either team. And it was, as for as physical a game as it was, it was a very well-played game. There weren't a whole lot of penalties. There weren't any stupid penalties, because in a game like that, the emotions can run so high because it's such a tension-filled atmosphere.
Exactly. No, definitely. And that's, you know, that's the thing that we talk to our kids all the time about is, you know, we're here to play physical, we're here to play enthusiastic, but we're here to play within the rules of the game and not get any self-inflicted wounds.
Coach,
don't get any penalties and do something that's going to hurt the team.
Have you had a chance to watch your own game against Masco?
Oh, yeah. We watched it the next morning.
All right, so what did you see anything there that popped out at you after, you know, that you might not have, you know, absolutely recognized during the game? Anything that jumped out at you? And I'm thinking in particular line play, because I would imagine that's kind of hard to see on the sideline sometimes.
Yeah, you know, Masco's a big, big physical team. They're really big up front, and they have, you know, some good linebackers, and they're athletic in their secondary, and you know. Like I've told the kids all year long, and you know how we go about things. You know, we worry about us. We don't worry about, you know, the other team, and you know, we worry about us and what we do well, and you know, and being focused on what we do and taking care of what we need to take care of, not about what anyone else is doing. And they're just, you know, pretty focused. You know what I mean? Just being focused on your opponent. And you know, Masco did a great job in the first half. You know, they threw the ball extremely well. We mixed up messed up a few coverages in the first half that allowed them to sneak a couple touchdowns in there. And then at halftime, we made a few adjustments and, you know, really just took off from there. In the second half, we were definitely the much better team. And, you know, we took over, and our senior leadership, you know, put us over the top. But Masco was...
MSONewsSports.com. MSO Radio.
At Calabrese Field, we are set for the beginning of the second half, an 18-0 Billerica lead. I'm Marty Smith with Tim Kearns, Phil Stacey, to bring you the second half of MIAA Division II sectional finals here. Kyle Chouinard back at his own 7-yard line. Sam Abatey up at the 17, anticipating Carlson's kick to start the second half, and there it is. This time the boot is deep, and it's fielded by Abatey at his 9. Cuts to the right side. He's up to the 15. He's up to the 20. Still on his feet at the 25, and tripped up at the 32-yard line. So first and 10 for the Panthers. He's taken down at the 35-yard line by Dean Brooks.
Yeah, it's going to take us a second longer than usual to find the players because the lights are off in the booth to assist the cameraman.
Not
unusual
problem.
Circumstances all around tonight.
Tommy Adams into the game for the Panthers. They'll give Abatey a breather after that kickoff return of a little bit better than 20 yards. So Beverly at their own 33-yard line, moving from right to left. The wind has abated just a little bit. And the back's in the eye behind Kevin Morenci. Morenci with the play call under center. Gives it to Chouinard. Chouinard tries to bowl through the middle of the line, and that's good for maybe a yard or two before he is wrapped up and dropped. Mark the ball at the 37, so it's a gain of 3, we'll call it. Second and 7 for the Panthers. Flaherty, the other Flaherty, with the tackle. What are you?
We have light behind.
We have light. And let there be light.
One of the Beverly TV people is standing behind me with his flashlight, with his phone flashlight on, so we can see the papers.
Again in the eye for the Panthers. This time the big pitch to Chouinard. Chouinard gets a block, comes to the 40. He's at the 45. He's at the 50. Runs the sideline down to the 40, and he's batted down at the 37-yard line. He stays inbounds at the 37. Big pickup for Kyle Chouinard of the Beverly Panthers, and it's their first first down of the football game with 10 minutes and 7 seconds clock running here in the third quarter.
Well, just what Phil Stacy called during our halftime talk, you know, don't feel sorry for yourself. Come out and play the way you've played all year long. And there's a different attitude with this Beverly team just off these first couple of plays, aided by that big kickoff return.
There's Shenard trying to run behind a block. He'll get to the 35. The gain will be about 2. And they'll seal it up at 2nd and 8. Well, yeah. What's the theme of the Panthers this year? Why not us?
Why not us?
Why not us? And we've got a Beverly Panther slow to get up off the field with a little bit of a cramp. He's going to walk it off. Come to the near sideline. It'll cost him a play. 9:33. Clock stopped here in the third quarter. Put the clock back in motion. The ball is at the 35-yard line, the near hash mark, as the Panthers move from our right to our left.
Bowman left from Marblehead has made an outstanding play, apparently taking the ball away on a quarterback-running back exchange. Marblehead's third fumble recovery.
Big pitch. Comes around to the tail, and it's down inside the 35 to the 33. Ball carrier for the Panthers is Sam Abatey.
Big hit by number 57 for Bill Ricca. Co-captain Henri Vehagel and Quinn. And that was a tackle coming up from behind.
Beverly makes a change in personnel. Tommy Adams comes back into the football game for the Panthers. Clock running 8:49 in the third quarter. The ambulance has just left. Not with the Beverly player that was injured on the last play. It's Shenard, El Shrafi in the backfield. Single receiver is Tommy Adams to the near side. Handed off to Shenard. Shenard gets running room inside the 30 and down to about the 29-yard line. He needs to get to the 27, so it is 4th down and 2 for the Panthers. Ball at the 29-yard line.
Well, they ran the one big gainer to the outside to the near side of the field to us, and everything else has been up inside the middle with Shenard doing the legwork, and it's slow going. He gets past the line of scrimmage, but it closes just so quickly between the linebackers and the secondary coming up to assist.
In the power eye, and Morenci wants a timeout. Something he did not like as he looked over the defense. 7:54 to play in the third quarter and a 30-second timeout.
Probably 8 guys in the box right on the other side of the line of scrimmage, which was going to negate any kind of play going up the middle.
I wonder if he was thinking he was going to be the ball carrier and thinking, there's not a lot of percentage in me running into that mess.
Yeah, you know, and if he had had the formation that would have allowed him to take it outside and get around the corner, there was a lot of room, especially to the far side of the field because the ball's just inside of the near hash mark.
So 4th and 2. For the Panthers, again from the stack guy with Morenci. Morenci pitches it off to the tail, and it is on his feet and still going. It's Abatey. Abatey at the 10. He's got a lane. He's in. Touchdown.
Oh, there it is. Nice call, Phil. Again, there's the Beverly Panther fight. They got a great kickoff return from Abatey. Set him up near midfield. You got the big run by Kyle Shenard, who just loves to take on people. He got around the corner for a big, big game. And again, here was Abatey finally busting a tackle and getting down into the end zone to put the Panthers on the board. So again, here's that Beverly spirit. Can they sort of put some cracks in that armor of the Bill Ricca defense and start to get into their heads a little bit? You know, one touchdown at a time, one defensive stop at a time.
Here's the point after attempt, and it is good. And so Beverly closes the gap a little bit. 18-7 is the score here with 7:45 to play in the third on MSONewsSports.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
Twenty-nine-yard touchdown run for Sam Abatey closes the gap to 11 points, 18-7, 7:45 to play in the third quarter. Luke San Perry will kick off from his own 40. We've seen Kennedy with a couple of nice kickoff returns. The ball blows off the tee. So San Perry has to interrupt his prep, turn around and come back up.
Gloucester scored again. It's 21-0 over Wakefield.
And there's a nice kick, and it's fielded by Kennedy at his own 4. Up to the 10. Comes to the far side of the field. Tries to circle around. McAlpine closes the door, and finally, he'll be brought down at the 20-yard line. So it's about a 16-yard return for Kennedy, and he has had a couple of very nice kickoff returns for the Billerica Indians, and they go on offense first and 10. Nick Shares gets credit for the tackle. McAlpine had the first hit. And the ball is at the 21-yard line, where it's first and 10 for Billerica, 7:35 to play in the third.
Yeah, as the Imperial's kicks have been kind of low. They've been long, but they've been low. And they're getting down the field real quick. And the coverage team, you know, hasn't had enough time to get down to provide real, real deep coverage. If you could get a little bit more air on them like you did last week.
Beverly team on the sidelines exhorting the crowd to get going. Here's the handoff, and it goes off for Laundry, and he is stopped after about a 2-yard gain.
Every play is huge. Every defensive play, every block, every tackle is huge now for the Panthers trying to crawl back into this game, trailing 18-7. Again, big defensive stand here. Every series now, they've got to be able to stop Billerica, get the ball back, and get marching down the field again.
Zach Burns, with Laundry in the backfield with him. Single wides to either side. Set from the 5-yard drop. Burns calls his own number. Runs left side. Tries to turn upfield. He does. Comes back to the near side. Or comes back into his right. And will get the ball up to the 28-yard line. So the gain is about 5 on the play. And sets up 3rd down and 2. Al-Shrafi comes back into the game on defense. Al-Faish gets credit for the tackle. 6:39, the clock continues to run. We're in the third quarter.
I just came upon this fun fact. Those are the first points that Beverly ever scored in 3 games against Billerica.
That's good to know.
Yeah, I wonder where that came from.
Burns hands the ball off to Laundry. He's got first down, and he's up to the 33-yard line. Make it the 34 from here. And another first down for the Billerica Indians. 6:20, the clock stopped with the movement of the chains. McAlpine gets credit for the tackle. Beverly has Ben Ames in the middle of that defensive line, and he's one guy, when he stands up, probably matches up against the height on the other side of the football.
Yes. You know, Beverly does a real good job on first and second down, giving him just a couple of yards, but then it's that third down where Bill Wicker is just able to squeeze those final yards out, and that's the play they just have to make here.
It's almost a pattern where they hand off on the first and second down. By third and fourth down, Burns is back looking to throw or tuck it in and make the run, and we've seen that he certainly has got the pins to do it. Make the handoff, give it to Laundry, and he'll get up to the 40, the 41-yard line. Mark him down at the 40. And well, they'll put him down at the 39, so Chouinard credit for the tackle. They need to get to the 44.
Gloucester's given up a touchdown to Wakefield. It's 21-7. St. Mary's has surrendered a touchdown to Stoneham. It is 16-6 there.
Third and 4 for Billerica. And it's Burns. Hands it off to Laundry. Laundry through the line. He's got first down, or very close to it. I see him down at the 43-yard line. Yeah, the spot's going to put him back a little bit. It is 4th and 1.
Beverly Panthers will take that spot.
Yes, yes, yes.
But again, it leaves a whole lot of options open to Billerica, as we've seen so far in this game.
4th and 1, hand off to Laundry. He's got first down up to the 45.
Yeah, by the yard, by 1 yard. Again, he just found enough room. He just hits the hole so hard, and then he just peeled off it and fell forward.
And Billerica player slow to get up off the field, makes his way over to the far sideline. So it'll be 1st and 10. Well, let's see. Yep, 1st and 10.
He may not make it to the sideline. He's hurting. Teammates are coming over to assist him.
So 1st and 10 for the Indians from their own 45. 4:36 to play third quarter, 18-7.
That's Captain Scott Murphy, 6'3", 240, a senior. And again, at that size and position.
Flaherty comes over to get some defensive advice in the defensive secondary for the Panthers. Zach Burns is going to call timeout here to get his team together. 4 minutes, 24 seconds to play in the third quarter. It's a 30-second timeout, 18-7, with Bill Ricca leading Beverly. He had the finger on the trigger, too.
I was ready to pull it until you said 30.
So the winner plays at Cauley Stadium next week as we're into that weird kind of week where the playoffs are over, but they're not really over unless you get the bye, but you don't get the bye, so you get to play. Otherwise, we're looking ahead to Thanksgiving.
Could you do that again?
No. I confused even myself.
Here we go.
First and 10 for Bill Ricca. Back is Zach Burns. Takes the three-step drop. Looks, gets away, and fires it. It is complete to Dean Brooks. Brooks runs left sideline. Brooks has a lane, and he's down inside the 25 to the 23, pushed out of bounds there. So a big, big pickup to Dean Brooks. Chouinard gets credit for pushing him out of bounds. And the ball is at the 20, so it's first and 10 at the top of the red zone. The Beverly red zone for the Bill Ricca Indians, as they have the ball at the Beverly 20 with 4:13 to play in the third quarter. 35-yard pass. The handoff is for Laundrie, and he is upended right at the line of scrimmage. No hole there for him, so yeah. It is second and 10.
Hugh Callis had just jumped that play. There was a gap. He went right through it and was able to take down Laundrie for a loss there. You know, the thing about the way Burns throws, Matt, he gets that downward angle throw. When the receiver gets it, it's down around his hips. It's not going to be tipped up in the air. It's not a high pass. So if the receiver's going to drop it, it's going to be dropped right to the ground.
And it's a hard pass, too.
Yes.
On a cold night like this. Back to pass is Burns. Burns fires it, and it is just short. And there's a situation where he was throwing down. The receiver was maybe a step behind the ball.
Yeah.
And had it been in the air, he had a chance at it, but he had to lunge back towards the ball, and it was down off the shoe tops.
Yeah, but again, it's a safe throw. Mm-hmm. No, only one person can catch that ball, and it's the intended receiver. It's not going to go up off the hands for a pick. So it's a very calculated throwing motion. And again, he's a pitcher. He's used to throwing that ball down in the strike zone. That's what he's doing here.
Third and 10 from the 20. Waiting for the play call from the far sideline is quarterback Zach Burns. He's got it. Everybody consults their wrists, and now we're going to take a timeout here as Bill Ricca needs to take a timeout to get themselves together. 3 minutes and 39 seconds to play here in the third quarter. It's another 30-second timeout taken by the Indians. Looking ahead to Thanksgiving, we have Gloucester and Danvers and English and Classical.
Yes, we will.
And somehow we're going to try to wrangle the Beverly-Salem. We'll see how that, if we can figure out a way to do it one channel or another. Still yet to happen.
Still yet. It's in the process.
It's in the planning stages. It's in the mixing stages. We need to let it proof and rise before we put it in the oven.
Oh, speaking of proof and rising.
And 10, 3:39 to play here third quarter. Bill Ricca with an 11-point lead. They led by 18 going into the half. Laundrie to the right side of his quarterback, Burns. Burns takes, rolls out, and fires. Flag on the play. It is complete. And down to the 9-yard line, but the flag is in the backfield. And the Beverly sidelines are celebrating here.
You know, but you look at that pass. He rolled out his receiver. His receiver, sorry, he was in trouble. He went towards the sideline. He had the defender on his back. And Burns throws a strike, again, down and around the waist area. But could all be coming back.
It is holding against the Bill Ricca Indians. So we'll see what Beverly decides to do with this one. It was third and 10. And they're saying personal foul against the Indians. 15 yards, pushing it back to the 35-yard line. So it is third down from the 35-yard line. They need to get to the 10. So it is third and 25.
Bill Ricca now has four penalties for 60 yards. They've all been with a big variety.
Ooh. Let's see, that's about an average of 15, right?
Yeah.
Tell math is my strong suit.
I tend to stay away from numbers myself.
Jacob Carlson wide to the right side. Laundrie in the backfield with quarterback Burns. Burns takes the five-step drop, drops again, fires it, and it is tipped and almost intercepted by the Panthers. But it is fourth down and 25.
Now, that's the first bad pass that he's thrown. I just get through talking about maybe that was what needed to do and do that earlier. That's the first pass that was not down at the waist where only the receiver could handle it. It was a little bit high. The receiver put his hands up and tipped it up in the air, and it almost was intercepted.
So on fourth and 25, the ball is at the Beverly 35, however. And if you punt, you're really not going to gain much on it, so they're going to go for it. Fourth and 25, and it's Zach Burns. Back to pass, two-step drop. Looks, fires it long, long, long. Has to lead the receiver, and it's batted down by the Panthers. That, I believe, is Johnny Jones in the back corner there. And Beverly will take the football over, first and 10 at their own 35.
That's the second great one-on-one defensive play. He just high-fived one of his teammates and knocked him down. I mean, Kyle Chenard, they went up to high five, and Jones hit him so hard he knocked him off balance, and Chenard put him to ground. But I'll tell you, I think he'll take that fall for the great stop that Johnny Jones just made. He timed that leap absolutely perfectly because the intended receiver was just waiting for that ball to settle in his hands, and it was gone before he knew it.
Beverly running the power eye again from their own 35. The big pitch goes to Chenard. Looks for running room. Has to turn back inside. Gets to the line of scrimmage. But boy, is he swarmed and dropped. There may even be a loss of about a yard on it. The clock runs with 3:07 in the third quarter.
The last time they ran that play successfully, he just took the ball and went to the corner and turned it up. And it was a lot. By doing that, the seal blocks were able to maintain. Once he hesitates and trying to find to cut back up inside of it, the Bill Rucker defense, the linebackers and the secondary are coming up and closing off that corner. He's just got to get to the corner and turn it.
Trying to come to the short side of the field, which is the left side of the field. The gain is a little bit under one, so we'll call it second and nine. The handoff is to Beatty, and he will be met right at the line of scrimmage, and it will be third and nine.
Yeah.
Well, the entire line got him there.
Outside. You know, Phil mentioned him. They've had to keep Hugh Calise inside to block. Boy, if they could just have him, you know, little chip block and then just flash out to one side or the other and get him one-on-one with a cornerback. I'd like to see that brace.
The wind is blowing directly from the far corner end zone pylon across the field to the 50. So on third and nine, back to pass. Is Morenci. He has pressure. He's got to get away from it. He doesn't, and he will be sacked back to the 19-yard line.
Yeah, second time. He's held onto the ball way too long. The defense came in. He had two men coming right up the middle chasing him. He had nowhere to go and eventually was taken down for another huge loss.
Yeah, the line of scrimmage was the 35, so the loss is 15. First down is the 45, but it is fourth and 25. We've seen this. Same way on the other side of the ball. And now Beverly will be forced to punt. And San Pieri will be punting from his own 5-yard line. Pair of receivers back at their own 42-yard line. The snap comes to San Pieri. Gets plenty of leg into it. Has some hang time. And it is not fielded cleanly and rolls out of bounds at the 31-yard line.
Wise choice. That ball was at the sideline. It was spinning over and over. Good choice by number 20, Kevin Kennedy, just to seal it off and let it roll out of bounds. Christian Sanfilippo has scored again from 21 yards out, 27-7. Gloucester now over Wakefield.
Minute and 2 seconds remaining to play here in the third quarter, 18-7, with Bill Ricca leading Beverly, and there are 12 minutes and 2 seconds left in this football game. Because we're playing 11-minute quarters. Yes.
Peabody is down to Haverhill, 20-8.
See how the photos look from the two. I mean, David.
At the 31-yard line, first and 10 for Zach Burns, who has spent a lot of time on this football field, and he's actually under center for one of the few times. Hands it off to Laundrie out at the tail, and we'll get up to the 34. The gain is about 4.
Duxbury is leading 19-7 in their game.
Callis credit for the tackle, along with Jake Veal of the Beverly Panthers. Amir El-Sharafi is kind of whacking himself upside the head. It's like he can hear something.
Triton scores again. It's 33-12.
Clock stopped here with 51 seconds to play in the third quarter. The 30-second timeout taken once again by Bill Ricca. That is their third 30-second timeout that they've taken just here in the second half, I think, just in the third quarter. 18-7. Was 18-0 at the half. Beverly came downfield on their first possession of the second half. And just had to give the football back up. Once again, Burns gets under center. Has Laundry behind him in the tail. Pat Quinn, the up back. Looking back to passes, Burns fires it downfield and has nobody there. This time, he aired it out. It had a nice arc, but it went too far.
Yeah, just out through number 12. Minutes. Dean Brooks by just about 2 yards. Sam Abatey right with Brooks on that particular play.
Now, of course, just as he let that ball go, the wind died down. He probably threw it hard, figuring he had to throw into the wind.
Yeah.
And instead, there was no wind. So it is third down and 7 for Bill Ricca. 45 seconds remaining to play here in the third quarter. Carlson wide to the right side again from the shotgun. This time they hand it off, and up with it is Pat Quinn. He had the first touchdown of the football game. Obviously for Bill Ricca, he gets up to the 36-yard line where it'll be fourth down and about 3, and we have timeout taken on the field this time by the Beverly Panthers. And they are going to take a full timeout here with 34 seconds to play in the third quarter. It's 18-7 with Bill Ricca over at Beverly on MSONewsSports.com.
Team up with the Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out the Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com.
Thirty-four seconds to play here in the third quarter. Calvary Stadium in Bill Ricca, Marty Smith, Tim Kearns, Phil Stacy of the Salem News with us. And now all of a sudden, a new offensive formation comes out. And they go into punt formation. They originally came out with the offense on fourth down and 3, and then very quickly after the Beverly timeout, went into punt formation. So we're set. The snap is high. Carlson jumps up and gets it. Gets his foot into the ball and puts it high into the air. And it'll be fair catch called for by Beverly. They're just going to let it roll. And it will roll back, take a nice bounce for Tewksbury, and it'll roll back to the 20-yard line. So 20 seconds to play here in the third quarter. Beverly will start first and 10 from their own 20. And you have some out-of-town scores.
Yes, Marblehead is marching to further in the playoffs. It is 28-0. At this moment, at the end of 33-19, Triton. They will move on in all likelihood. Gloss's offense back on the field. They're already leading.
Over on our other channel, you'll hear the Marblehead game. Here we've got an 18-7. Beverly trailing. Hand it off, reverse it back, and firing it downfield is Morenci. Can he catch up with the receiver? He does. It's Abatey. Abatey at the 35. Abatey at the 30. Has one man to beat. He's at the 20, the 10. 5, touchdown.
And done it again. Well, again, it's big play offense. And Sam Abatey is usually in the middle of it. Great pass by Morenci. Abatey had to take a half a step short to pull it in, but he had two steps on the defender and just headed to the far sideline. And again, outraced the defender, looking back over his left shoulder, just made a slight cut back to the middle and into the end zone, untouched from the time he caught the ball. Whew, here we go again.
80-yard touchdown run for Sam 80-yard touchdown pass and run for Sam Abatey, his second touchdown of the game, his second touchdown for the Panthers.
And that was a heck of a pass by Morenci.
I'll say.
He lofted that thing.
And again, it was more or less the reverse because he handed the ball off, got it back, and put the ball up. They're going to go for two. And it's a little dump off, and it's batted down. So the two-point conversion is unsuccessful. And with 7 seconds to play here in the third quarter, Beverly has closed the gap. It's 18-13 with Tewksbury on top of Beverly. On MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, I can understand the confusion you may be experiencing. TV, radio, and newspapers are simply filled with replacement window advertising, all promising everything under the sun and then some. At Moynihan Lumber, we offer no gimmicks, just quality products, competitively priced, sold to you by a professional salesperson who really knows what he's talking about. That's Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
You know, Marty, the key to that play coming off is that Beatty has to sell it that it's going to be a run play. He's going to end up being a blocker until the ball goes back to Morency, and then he sprints down the field to get behind the defender, and Morency's just able to lay it out there for him.
Kennedy and Brooks back at their own six-yard line, anticipating the kickoff from San Perry, and he puts the line drive down. It will bounce at the 14-yard line and roll out of bounds there. And they do a good job of keeping it away from Kennedy, who has had some very nice kickoff returns. It'll be first and 10 in the last seconds here of the third quarter as the ball rolls out of bounds at the 17-yard line.
It is 39-19. Watertown scores to cut the lead a little bit. Newburyport leads 13-7. Ooh, Triton fumbled. It's 33-25. Not a good mistake on that one.
So the winner of that Triton-Watertown game gets to play the winner of Holliston and Hanover. And that game is being played as we speak. And they'll play next Saturday at Brockton at 2:30 in the afternoon.
And we've seen no scores from south of Boston. Except for the occasional.
They don't have Twitter down there.
It doesn't extend this far north.
Doesn't cross the bridge. Burns from the shotgun takes the three-step drop. Looks, has to tuck it in. Still looks, fires near sideline. It is incomplete. Thrown over his intended receiver, Jacob Carlson. And the clock will run out of time here, and that's the way the third quarter is going to come to an end. Beverly has scored twice in the third quarter to close the gap to 5. It's 18-13. With Bill Ricca leading Beverly as we go to the fourth quarter on MSONewsSports.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Roger Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work right for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
If you're thinking of renovating your home, please talk to the experienced sales staff at Moynihan Lumber. That's 82 River Street in downtown Beverly. Or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Second and 10 for Bill Ricca from their own 30-yard line as we start the fourth quarter, and the handoff goes nowhere. Maybe a yard, and it'll be third down and 9. Opening drive of the third quarter and a 5-point lead for Bill Ricca. So let's see, the only way that this could tie would be a field goal in the safety. So third down and 9, and here's Burns looking, fires. It's a lateral to the far sideline. It is complete, turns up field and up to the 37-yard line. It will be short of the first down. It'll be fourth and looks like about 4 as the pass is complete to Kevin Kennedy, but Chenard pushes him out of bounds at the 38-yard line.
Another.
So it's fourth and a long 2.
Another big defensive play for Beverly to make.
So fourth and 2. Under center now, Zach Burns. Let's see if he calls his own number. On fourth and a long 2, they're going to punt the football. And here it is, high and not much difference. A lot of hang time. And it bounces at the 47-yard line. And it will roll out of bounds at the 47. They get the 45, and Beverly will have the football first and 10 from their own 45-yard line.
Well, they're feeling it now. They've made a defensive stop. They got a short kick. They got a, I won't say short field, but it's shorter than they've had in the past. Now, can they continue to make something happen?
10 minutes, 20 seconds to play here in the football game. The ball at the 45-yard line on the far hash mark. First out of the huddle is Jordan Paracella. Kevin Morency will get under center. Two backs behind him, two receivers to the near side. Pitch it back. That's Chenard. Chenard at the 40. Cuts in. Gets to the 35, which is the line of scrimmage, before he is pushed back. They'll give him forward progress to the 35 and not much more. A Beatty running in front of him. Flaherty running in front of him. Nick Gonzalez running in front of him. And just couldn't keep the hole open. Second and 10.
How about you, Callis?
Yes.
Running in front of him.
Okay.
You know? You need more of a bulldozer out there to knock a couple of bodies down.
Ball on the near hash mark. Beverly moves left to right. 9:44 to play here in the football game, and a 5-point lead. Twin receivers to the far side. Again, the back's in the eye, and flags on the play. It's going to go against Beverly as Morency took the three-step drop.
Yeah, but Callis decided at the last second to go and put his hand down.
Ah. Well,
I don't know what made him do that. He was looking, and all of a sudden he bent down, and I don't know if he lost his balance, but his hand went down and touched the ground.
He was paying attention to what you just said about him.
Yeah.
Second and 15 for the Panthers. The ball at the 40-yard line on the near hash mark. 9:32, clock running here in the fourth quarter. Stay with us throughout the week. We'll keep you updated on what's going on and who's playing where and what our coverage will be. Receivers to either side. Split out to the left as well. Back to passes. Morency takes the short drop, tucks it in. He's at the 40 and tries to turn the corner in quickly. He is smothered at the 43-yard line. And dropped on that play by Laundry. Ball at the 43-yard line. Third down and 11 for the Panthers. And Morency gets the play call from his uncle and comes back into the huddle. You're huddled up at the 32. The clock running 8:47 here in the fourth quarter. Paracella yells something back to his quarterback, who now gets under center. Makes the long count. Fakes the pass. Rolls it off instead, and that is Abatey, and he will be dropped at the 45-yard line. So the gain is about 3, but it sets up fourth down and 9. So a defensive hold here for the Billerica Indians, a 5-point lead they have with 8 minutes and 19 seconds, and Luke San Perry is coming onto the field for the punt.
And they're going to need an outstanding punt this time with something with some real hang time to give the coverage team an opportunity to get down there and keep this ball pinned deep in Billerica territory, give the defense a chance to make their stand.
Kennedy on the far side, Mulkerin at his own 15-yard line to the near side. Wait for the snap. Here's the long snap. He gets the laces up, puts a boot into it.
Lots
and lots of height, lots of distance. Kennedy takes it. He drops it. Falls on the ground, and Beverly's recovered at the 16-yard line.
Well, I got my wish. I got the high, high punt, and that allowed the coverage team to get down the field. And again, coming into the face of the receiver, he took his eye off and went right through the hands. Through his legs behind him, and Beverly coverage able to jump on the ball. Gives him that short field they were looking for, and there's that mistake. Can they take advantage of it?
On the 16-yard line, first, make that the 21-yard line. First and 10 for the Panthers. No, there really are no yard markers there. We'll go back to our original and call it the 17. So first and 10 for the Panthers from the 17-yard line of Tewksbury on the fumble, recovery on the punt. Morency, under center, rolls back, pitches it around for Chenard. Chenard has a lane right side, comes to the near sideline, still on his feet at the 10, and he's wrestled out of bounds at the 6.
See, that's what I'm talking about, Marty. That time he didn't try to look inside. He went around, got around the corner, and as he got around, was able to turn the corner, then enabled him to let the coverage slide past him, and then just cut back just a little inside to continue down the field.
9-yard pickup, Morgan Mulkerin. Forces him out of bounds. First, second and 1.
Jones?
Jones.
Mr. Defense for Beverly, Johnny Jones, is on that recovery, according to my to Phil Stacy.
So from the 8-yard line, second and one. Handed off to Abate. Still on his feet inside the five, down to the four to the 3-yard line.
Nice cutback. He got to the line of scrimmage and was able to dance and juke to his right. And again, picked up an extra 2-3 yards there. He's coming off the field and being replaced by number 11.
Well, that's Morency coming in with the play call. It is first and goal from the two. Beverly trails by five. 7:13 to play here in the fourth quarter.
Okay, so that was Chenard who came back in, who was out on that particular play.
You can hear the Beverly crowd right in front of us. Morency sets for the handoff. Flag on the play.
And somebody moved.
Somebody moved against the Panthers. Put the ball back five, and it will be first and goal from the seven for the Panthers. That quiets the crowd in front of us. A good Beverly crowd here. I would dare say that there are probably more Beverly fans here than Billerica fans on a Friday night, a chilly Friday night. 6:49, fourth quarter, the clock running. Billerica leads 18-13.
Loss attacks on another touchdown, 34-7 against Wakefield.
On looking. Back to passes, Morency. Looks, gets away, almost trips up, fires it down into the end zone. There's nobody home, into the corner of the end zone. And this time, Morency was in trouble, couldn't get his footing, and did get the ball off.
With an opportunity to get six more points on the board, you got to be wise. You can't take a deep sack, can't lose big yardage. Be smart, see if you can get something, and then finally just get rid of it. He threw it into the far corner, out. Make sure it's out of bounds so no defender could try to get to it.
Second and goal from the six for Morency. Backs are in the eye. Hands it off to Chenard. Chenard goes left side. He gets down to the five and inside the five to the four. Worked down there and stopped by John O'Neill. And Ricard for Billerica. Ball right on the 5-yard line, the far hash mark, and it is third and goal now from the five.
Well, we got 5:57 there, Marty.
5:57 to play here in the football game. Beverly trails by five, but they are deep inside of Billerica territory on the fumble recovery after the punt. Here's the handoff. Bulling through the line, in, touchdown!
Oh, that was just sheer determination of getting into the end zone. It was a triple I. Deep back out. I think, was that a Beatty or was that Chenard? It was a Beatty. He had two men leading. They managed to crack a crease, and he just got into it, found another gap, turned sideways, slid into the end zone. Beverly has continued to prove his resilience. The cameraman for Bev TV turned around at the end of the first half and said, "We're a second half team." So he wasn't worried.
Abate, a 5-yard run, and his third touchdown of the football game with 5:42. It is 19-18. And Beverly's going to get flagged on the point after attempt for an illegal substitution. So the touchdown is still up there, and we're doing the point after. And Coach Morency's unhappy.
Well, luckily you've got a kicker who can make an extra point from a longer distance.
So Luke San Perry with a 1-point lead, looking to make it a 2-point lead.
But yeah, we have to understand that Billerica has a young man who can kick the ball. He's already kicked one time.
Morency on the 2 points, fires it, and it is incomplete. Intended receiver got clocked in the end zone.
That was Ucalis. He did, and he's a little slow getting up. But Morency threw a bullet on that one, trying to get it through. So Beverly has stormed back here in the second half to lead 19-18. Now it's the defense's job.
That's a lot of time on the scoreboard. 5 minutes, 42 seconds to play here in the fourth quarter. Beverly with a 1-point lead. They trailed through the entire first half. They trailed before they got their hand on the football. And then trailed 18-0 at the halftime. Sam Abatey has had all of the touchdowns in the second half.
I know Phil hasn't had time to do this, but I'm just wondering, because Beverly was in the negative yardage in the first half, how many positive yards they have this half?
Well, that drive was only, it was realistically like 20 yards.
Yeah.
And that's set up by the big Johnny Jones fumble recovery on the Beverly punt. Here's San Perry with the ball teed at the 40. Line the clock up. San Perry moves up, puts his toe into it, and that thing is going to go. Well, it's fielded. No, it's dropped. It's dropped in the end zone. Picked up now and run back to the 5. Not much more there, up to the 7-yard line. So it'll be first and 10 at the 12-yard line. You got to wonder about that, but you just let it roll into the end zone, and you're first and 10 from the 20.
Yeah, unfortunately, you think, you know, you muffed the ball, you first thought it recovered, and go do something with it. On the Twitter earlier in the, I think it was the Triton game, the referee actually allowed the Watertown player to take a play, to hit the ball, go down, get down on one knee, and then let him come out of the end zone.
So timeout on the field here. 5 minutes and 31 seconds in the fourth quarter. Clock stopped. Well,
that's going to, you know, put a challenge to the Bill Record. Can they get out of this hole? And for the Beverly defense, can they just stuff it now, get the ball back, and give themselves some breathing room?
Beverly fans on their feet in front of us. First and 10 from his own 17. Burns back to pass, airs it out long, incomplete, and flag on the play. And I believe
I hope that is not defensive interference, because Abatey was behind the receiver and was going for it, and the receiver ran into him.
It's Gus Gobiel who was the intended receiver back at the 45-yard line.
That can't be. That can't be.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, it is.
It's against Bill Ricca. Offensive pass interference.
The receiver ran up Abatey's back as Abatey dove for the, reached up for the ball and prevented him from making an interception. I'm not sure he would have made it, but that the running up the back definitely prevented him from doing that. Gutsy call by the official.
So there's not much room actually to step this thing back, as the line of scrimmage is the 12. So offensive pass interference, half the distance, will put the ball at the 6, and it will be second and 16 for Bill Ricca. Uncharacteristic errors on the last two possessions by Bill Ricca.
But, you know, it's what Phil talked about at halftime. You know, get on the board, get a score, get in their heads. Beverly, off of what they did at Tewksbury last week, is in Bill Ricca's head right now.
First and 16. Waiting on the snap is Burns. Fakes the handoff, gives it to Laundrie, and Laundrie gets up to the 10. So he makes back almost all the yardage off the penalty, and it will set up second down and 10. Ball at the 12-yard line. And it's second and 10. No huddle offense. Laundrie to the right side of his quarterback. Burns takes a step back. Looks, has to run with the football. Has all kinds of daylight. Comes to the 20. Comes to the near sideline to the 25 and runs out of bounds at the 27-yard line. First down. First and 10 for Bill Ricca. Burns on the keeper.
Beverly had everybody covered. Down the field. The only one that wasn't accounted for was the quarterback. He saw a hole over the left side of the offensive line and just pulled it down and took off. Wisely stepped out of bounds, too, to save himself some time.
A fresh set of first and 10. Burns looking, fires it far sideline. It is complete. Complete over there to Dean Brooks, but it doesn't go for much.
Hugh Callis on that tackle. He was swift to the ball. Again, Brooks, a very, very good route runner. Callis was just a step behind him, but as soon as Brooks reached the ball, pulled the ball in, Hugh was down low, grabbing him and pulling him down.
Second and 6 from his own 45. Again, Burns looks. He's in trouble. He gets away from it. Looks, trying to fire downfield, and it is incomplete. intended receiver was Gus Goville. He's covered by Sam Abatey of the Beverly Panthers, and the pass goes incomplete, and it is third down and six, and Johnny Jones also in on the pass coverage for the Panthers, 4:13 clock stop.
Yeah, Burns flushed out of the pocket, and Beverly had good contain on the outside. He had to throw on the run, throwing back across his body. Ball landed short.
Timeout, Bill Ricca. In case you walked off to the fridge, it is 19-18, 4 minutes and 13 seconds to play in the football game on MSONewsSports.com.
For team uniforms and your business's corporate apparel, choose Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South in Peabody. Why Sarkisians? It's quality. Owner Sarkis Sarkisian.
Quality is not only the type of apparel you get and the cleanliness and the professionalism that's used in making that. The quality is in the customer service that we provide from the beginning to the end of the whole process of getting you the type of apparel or uniforms that you're looking for.
Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South Peabody, SarkisianSports.com.
On third down, looking to pass as Burns sets up, steps, fires it downfield, and it is incomplete. Yep. The pass was caught by Dean Brooks, but he was in his own sideline in front of his own players, and it is now fourth down and six. There'll be a trophy presentation, I believe, at the end of this, so you may be able to actually stay up for a minute or two if you'd like.
Oh, all right. Yeah, my phone didn't charge off of your charger. It's very particular, so I had to
probably.
I have your charger, and I had to shut mine down again. So
probably sucked all the juice out of that backup battery, which probably wasn't much. Another timeout taken by Bill Ricca. 4 minutes and 6 seconds to play here in the football game. Beverly has roared back here to take a 19-18 lead after trailing 18-0 at the half.
Are we a 30 or a one?
It's a full.
It's a full. So we're out of here.
Here on MSONewsSports.com.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. The atmosphere is casual, the staff friendly and attentive, the food fantastic. From pub grub appetizers, soup, salad, or sandwiches, to burgers, chicken, seafood, pasta dishes, or decadent desserts, everything's prepared to perfection. So make plans to meet at Sylvan Street. Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Check out their website, sylvanstreetgrill.com. Better yet, go in and find out for yourself what the buzz is all about. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Fourth down and six for Bill Ricca, and another timeout taken here.
Come on.
And Beverly takes a timeout here. Why don't you update us on what's going on around the world?
All right. It is a final in Marblehead. It's 28-7 over North Reading. So Marblehead will advance and play the winner of the South Sectional.
Yeah, they draw the bye.
Right.
It's a fascinating way that they do it. So in case you have nothing else to do someday, go to MIAA.net and read the entire 86-page description of how the playoffs are picked out.
You know, I was going to hit that today, and I said, nah.
No, you let me do all the reading. I know your time.
Hey, listen, I ran all the playoff scenarios.
Fourth and six for Bill Ricca. And they are at their own 33-yard line. Looking is Burns. Looks, fires it to the sideline. Incomplete. And Beverly, the defense is held. They will have the football, first and 10, at the Bill Ricca 34-yard line with 4 minutes and 1 second to play here in the fourth quarter.
Well, in the first half, they couldn't stop Burns' passing. And in the second half, Marty, you notice his passes have either been in the ground or he's overthrown them for some reason. Again, as Phil said, in the head. They are in Bill Ricca's head right now, and they have been since that big kickoff return from Abatey to start the second half.
Two goals here is the two goals that the Panthers have is A, hold on to the football, and B, use up some time, and three, put some more points on the board. Big pitch around to Chouinard. Tries to turn the corner and go left, and he will not be able to do so when he's dropped back at the 37-38-yard line, where it will be second and 13 for the Panthers.
Gloucester's a final 34-13 over Wakefield. Gloucester now is at 8-2 on the season.
Kevin Flaherty back into the game. Chouinard gets a breather here. 3:36, clock running. The clock is partially Beverly's friend at this point. Backs in the power eye. The ends are close. Morenci looks to the near sideline. Once again, from the power eye, the big pitch goes to Flaherty. Flaherty pulls his way down to the 35. He'll be stacked up there. He might get another yard. And a big hand from the Beverly fans in front of us. Hugh Callis helps to open the hole for him.
Now that's the Flaherty family running style right there. Up high, keep the legs churning. Getting some more yards.
Third and seven for the Panthers.
He said,
as the ball is at the 32-yard line on the far hash mark.
St. Mary's is a final, 16-6 over Stoneham. St. Mary's advances.
Yeah, they have a bye. And they'll go to the playoffs.
Right.
The Super Bowl, not sure where yet. Here's the handoff for the Panthers, and turning the corner, nothing there at the 30, so it'll be fourth down for Beverly. They actually gain a yard, Flaherty does. And the ball's down at the 30. They need to get to the 25. So it is 4th and 5. And timeout taken here by Bill Ricca with 2 minutes and 29 seconds. And a full timeout taken by the Bill Ricca Indians. Beverly leads 19-18, 2:29 to play in the fourth quarter on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, I can understand the confusion you may be experiencing. TV, radio, and newspapers are simply filled with replacement window advertising, all promising everything under the sun and then some. At Moynihan Lumber, we offer no gimmicks, just quality products, competitively priced, sold to you by a professional salesperson who really knows what he's talking about. That's Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
2:29 to play, fourth quarter.
I'm trying to hyperventilate again.
Ah. Please don't do that.
Last week it was the same thing. What are they trying to do to me?
Fourth and five.
Triton is good again, 46-32 over Watertown.
Cole and Abatey wide to the right. Back to pass is Morenci. Fires it downfield, fires it long to Callis. Does he pull it down? No, it is incomplete. Oh. Callis was wearing a defender. Down in on the 1 yard line.
He had to step the balls a tiny bit underthrown. He went up, and I actually thought he had taken it away over the defender.
Ooh. James Flaherty and Mulcurran break that play up. So it is first and 10 with 2:22 remaining in this football game, and Bill Ricca gets the football, first and 10 from their own 30. And the Beverly defense will be challenged once again, as will the offense of Tewksbury. Beverly has scored all of the 19 points that have been scored in the second half. Tewksbury scored all of the 18 in the first half. First and 10 from the 30. Burns with Laundry in his backfield. Puts a motion man to the near side, and that is Brooks. Sends Laundry out to the flank on the right side. So he's all alone in the backfield. And looks, he's in trouble. He gets away from it. Looking is Burns. He's got no place to throw. Dumps it off to the outlet man, and it is... Let's see if he's got it. He does have it. It's complete to Dean Brooks. It's enough for the first down. The little dump off up to the 43.
Yeah, Callis almost had him in the backfield.
2:10 clock stop with the movement of the chains. No huddle. Single wide to the near side is Jacob Carlson. Back to pass is Burns. Has time. Another dump out for Brooks, and he will get it up to the 50-yard line.
Yeah, he just checked at the line of scrimmage. He just had a little scrape block and then just drifted just beyond the line of scrimmage. Burns did a good job hitting him again right back down around the waist.
Second and two from the 50. The clock running a minute and 41 seconds remaining. I don't think Bill Ricca has a timeout. Empty backfield. Burns Back to pass, steps up, fires, it is complete again to Brooks. He will be wrestled. I think they're going to give him forward progress at the 48. They do, and that will be enough for a first down.
But it could, there could have been a holding penalty on one of the Billerica linemen. The McAlpine had beaten him, and all of a sudden he got pulled down.
90 seconds in the football game. Again, the empty backfield for Burns. First and 10. Takes the snap. Looks all alone. Has a lane on the right side. He's going to run with the football. Puts his head down. Now he's got pursuit. He gets away from it. He's down to the 45 and steps out of bounds at the 42.
You want some excitement at the at Delarusso Field in Revere. Luke Ciccatelli's team pulls out a last-second 24-22 win over Lynn English with a 41-yard field goal.
Oh, my. Second and six here. 70 seconds in the football game. Beverly has a one-point lead. Billerica has the football at the Beverly 43-yard line. They need to get to the 36 to keep this football game in motion.
Boy, can Beverly steal the pick right here.
Empty backfield for Burns. Takes the three-step drop, gets rid of it quickly, fires a bullet, and it is complete on the far sideline at the 35, and it will be a first down. Stop the clock.
Zavarian has shut out BC High. They move on.
And that's Carlson with the completed pass. 1 minute to play in the football game. Clock running. Back to pass is Burns. Looks, has pressure. Looks for somebody. Can't find anybody. Now he finds somebody, and a ball goes right off of the first down marker. Which probably wasn't a bad outcome if your quarterback, Zach Burns, because he couldn't find anybody and just got rid of the ball.
Would have been nice if the Beverly player, who had great coverage, couldn't see who it was. But that may have been, if it hadn't been for the ad marker, might have been up for a pick.
But so the ball at the 35-yard line, second and 10 for Billerica, 51 seconds. The clock will go in motion at the snap of the football. Burns all alone in the backfield once again. Has some pursuit. Can't unload the ball. He does. He fires it to the far sideline. Is he inbounds or not? And, well, Billerica's hopping up and down. Now Beverly's hopping up and down. And it is complete. They'll say that he caught it inbounds, so the ball's at the 25-yard line. Make it the 24. Fresh set of downs, first and 10, 44 seconds to play in the football game, and Beverly with a one-point lead. Burns, this time, has Laundrie in the backfield. Gives the handoff to Laundrie. He's on his feet. He's inside the 20 and down to the 18-yard line. So after pass, they keep Laundrie in the backfield, and he gets a nice 6-yard pickup, second and 4.
Keeping the defense honest on that one.
30 seconds. Handed off to Laundrie again. Puts his head down, and he gets down to the 15. It will be close to first down. Clock running, though, with 23 seconds to play. And Billerica cannot stop the football game. It's third and one. Cannot stop the clock, make it. Third and one. Handed off again to Laundrie. Laundrie tries to run through a pile and gets down inside the 15. He will have first down, and looks like from here.
They're going to just...
Let's see. What are they going to do? 9 seconds remaining, yep. And Beverly is incensed. They don't have a timeout.
And
so is it first down? Well, it can't. It's. I'm not sure what it is. It looks like it's. The scoreboard says third and 10. The yard marker says third down. The clock stopped with 9 seconds. And this one is one for the ages. It's the ball is at the 14. They stopped the clock for a measurement.
Oh, come on.
Oh, what this is all about.
So the coach yells for a measurement no matter how far away it is.
Well, let's see. Stretch the chains out. And it is going to be first down, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they are moving this ball back.
All right, now.
Over. Now,
why did they move to the middle of the field?
I don't
know. Because for the field goal try?
Well, it's first down, but it doesn't matter. They're going to line it up for a field goal. Carlston will kick from the 20. 9 seconds to play in the football game. And it will come down to the foot of the kicker for Bill Ricca. They had 18 points in the first half. Beverly scored 19 in the second half. And it's down to this. Carlston will kick. When the snap is down, there's the kick. It is up. And it is short. It is short. 6 seconds. And Beverly has come back, scoring 19 points in the second half. They have defeated Bill Ricca by a score of 19-18, but we still have to run a play.
Wow.
I couldn't say they've defeated them. Beverly still has to put the clock in motion.
Now the Beverly coaches are up in the box, are in as much of a state of disbelief as we are. Again, we saw the kicker for Bill Ricca nail about a 24-yarder earlier in the game with lots of room to spare. But on this one, again, he had the time against him. He had that on his mind. Beverly had an all-out rush on him. They came in from both corners. He rushed the kick. It went wide right. In fact, it didn't even make the goalposts. So, again, all Beverly has to do is take this, get in the protective formation.
6 seconds on the clock, and they put it in motion. Down on his knee is Morenci. The Beverly football players celebrate as the time runs out. Here on the season for the Bill Ricca Indians, the Beverly Panthers will play again next Saturday in Lowell. Beverly has come roaring back to defeat Bill Ricca by a 19-18 count. We'll be back to wrap it up next. You're on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, this is Saka Sarkisian, owner of Sarkisian Sportswear, located on Route 1 South in Peabody. We are a sports team dealer and custom apparel distributor that can handle all of your team's or company's uniform and apparel needs. So stop by and visit us at 182 Newbury Street in Peabody to see our storefront. Visit with our friendly and helpful staff and let us help you get the right fit for your program. Also, you can visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials and learn more about us.
MSONewsSports.com, MSO Radio.
Two weeks in a row. Last Saturday, Beverly came from behind to defeat Tewksbury. by 1.9-8. This week, Beverly comes from behind to score 10 more points than they did last week. They defeat Billerica by a score of 19-18 to take the MIAA Division II North football title. They will go play again next Saturday, the 19th, at 1:30 at Cawley Stadium in Lowell. They'll play the winner of the North Attleboro-Duxbury game. Duxbury 9-0 coming into that one. North Attleboro is 8-1. Our final score here, 19-18. Beverly coming from behind. Here's how it happened. In the Billerica had the football to start the game, took 7 minutes and 10 seconds, a 75-yard drive, topped by a Pat Quinn 1-yard run. Billerica leads 6-0. Pat Quinn, a 2-point conversion, makes it 8-0 at the end of the first quarter, with 6:12 to play in the second quarter. Laundrie's 16-yard run makes it 14-0. Carlston's kick is good, and it's 15-0. It was a one-play drive that went 16 yards after Beverly gave up the football at their own 16. And then with 43 seconds to play in the half, Jacob Carlson's 25-yard field goal, it's 18-0 with Billerica as they go into the locker room at halftime. But Beverly comes roaring back to start the second half. Sam Abatey's 28-yard run for a touchdown makes it 18-6. Sam Perry's kick makes it 18-7. And then with just 7 seconds to play in the third quarter, Morenci finds Abatey for an 80-yard touchdown strike, closes the gap to 18-13. The 2-point conversion is no good, and the third quarter comes to an end with 18-13. But then Beverly, with Johnny Jones with a fumble recovery on a Beverly punt at the 20-yard line, leads to Beverly's third touchdown, Sam Abatey's third touchdown of the football game. Beverly takes a 19-18 lead, and the 2-point conversion is no good. Beverly holds on to defeat the Billerica Indians and take the MIAA Division II North Championship. So we will be at Cawley Stadium next weekend to bring you more Beverly football. Our thanks to Billerica Athletic Director Dave Lazinski for his cooperation in getting us facilities for this evening's broadcast. Sam Abatey's 3 touchdowns and Beverly's come-from-behind victory put the Panthers on top by a score of 19-18. For Rick Moore, our executive producer, for Phil Stacey of the Salem News, and for Coach Tim Kearns, I'm Marty Smith, bidding you a very pleasant good evening from Billerica, Massachusetts, and MIAA Championship Football. And it's all on MSONewsSports.com.